go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go, the first Friday on the front porch of the new year. It is the fourth day of January, 2019. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where we've got the little link called Chat Room. And if you pick out a screen name and a password and jump in, you'll be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, real-time, zany multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live. Yes, indeed. You'll be greeted by Anatole and Otto and Squeaky and B.T. Blom and Warrior Witch and many more who will be wandering in before the tardy bell rings. Nah, we don't got one of those. You'll also be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space to become Man Cave. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and yes, we will be getting to the Friday on the Front Porch conversation here in about an hour or so. A reminder, if you've never participated, you're welcome to jump into the conversation. Mighty welcome indeed. And all you got to do to do so is hop on Skype and send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, S-P-A-R-K-Y-D-U-N-C, one word, S-P-A-R-K-Y-D-U-N-C. And Sparky will then make it so that you'll be able to see the Bob signal flashing off the clouds and find the breadcrumb trail that leads to the old hollow tree that we rent from the Keebler Elves. Well, we sublet it from them. And that's where we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table around which we gather each and every Friday here on the Horn. A conversation like no other. So that's, if you start working on it, if you've never done it before, and jump in here in a little bit. On the other hand, we also have, and it works from time to time, we also have the stress line, and I don't know if the cats have walked across something or that, but we shouldn't have any problems getting the signal to and from the Skype group as well, but I've been told that sometimes that is a problem. I don't know. But at any rate, the number for that, of course, is toll-free if you need us to carry the freight. 844-THE-HORN, that's 844-843-4676. If you would prefer to just dial it directly yourself, well, you can do that too. That's 304-640-2829. 304-640-2829. We also, of course, have thanks to send out at the beginning of the program. Thanks to our subscribers who help to keep the program on the air and reliably and consistently can be found month to month. Thank you very kindly to Thomas for your subscription and your partial support, your partial sponsorship of the program. Thank you to Catherine for the same. Thank you very kindly to Paul. Thanks very much indeed for being part of the subscriber group. Thanks to Kelly, and thanks to brand new subscriber Nagla. Thank you, Nagla. Thank you for jumping in and joining in the ongoing effort to eventually fully fund the broadcast. Thank you very kindly indeed. Loud and clear on both streams from 2019's first front porch, says Brother Deacon Asa. The same being confirmed by Scott in San Diego, loud and clear on both streams. Hot diggity, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. And with any luck at all, it'll stay that way. It's a toasty 61 degrees here in the magnificent in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion compound. We have to be a compound now, remember, because Julius Geezer says we've got compounds. Oh, he says a lot of things, Julius Geezer does. Said a lot of crazy things today. Said a lot of crazy things yesterday. At some point in time, we're just going to have to, the rest of the country is just going to have to come to the realization, I mean, we already do, that he's crazy. You know, lunatic. Sandwich shy of a picnic. Spoon short of a place setting. Brick shy of a load. Candle shy of a chandelier. All of those. All of those. Oh, but we do have fundraising to do this evening. If we want to come to the end of the first week of January, not the first full week. Next week will be the first full week, full broadcast week of January. But if we want to come to the end of this week, to the good, we've got $400 to raise. That's 10 at 40, 4, 10 at 40, 40 at 10, 1 at 4, 2 at 200, 4 at 1, 8 at 50, 16 at 25, 32 at 12 and a half, 64 at 6 and a quarter, 128 at $3.13, and we'll take that half penny and round it up and put it into the oil change for the Gulfstream 5 fund. Okay? So if you want to help out, just run over to headon.live, click on the PayPal button, and away we'll go. And we won't be dealing with like something nutty like a $600 fundraising goal come Monday. But all that having been said, there's plenty to talk about this evening, and in terms of setting the table for the conversation to come here in about an hour. A number of things caught my eye, one of which being we're seeing the first impacts of Trump's shutdown of the government, which, by the way, today he said could last months or years, because he's in a corner. He's a cornered little rat with that little ratty face and these little rat teeth, and he doesn't have a way out. And so far, nobody's really offered him a way out. The Democrats did what the Democrats were planning on doing in the House. They passed the same deal that the Senate, the McConnell-led Senate, passed in order to keep the government open before the year ended. And, of course, chinless Mitch McConnell, the most evil Republican, Trump included, in the country, said that he would not even put the Democratic legislation up for consideration. There's meaning to this, because this was, again, the same bill that the Senate had passed. The House just handed it back and said, here you go, nice clean bill. Want to pass it? And chinless Mitch said, oh, wouldn't be right to do that. Now, never mind the fact that, oh my God, way, 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 way back in time. Let's see. Where is it? Yeah. Back in time, 2013 to be precise, chinless Mitch McConnell said in October of 2013, there'd been a 16-day staring contest over the Affordable Care Act. He said, there will not be another government shutdown. You can count on that. Shutting down the government, in my view, is not conservative policy. I don't think a 2-week paid vacation for federal employees is conservative policy. It, once again, everything that Chinless Mitch says eventually comes back to make sure that we all understand that he is a raving hypocrite of the First Order. But no, he said that in 2013. And 800,000 people are going to miss paychecks here in a few days. All over a $5 billion demand for the dumbest idea that a president has ever, ever, ever had. And Mitch McConnell has the power, the sole power, to decide whether or not the government reopens. Not Trump. Because the bill has to get through Congress first. The Democrats have done their job. And Mitch is saying that he won't even allow the bill to be considered. Do y'all happen to remember, those of you who have been listening for a while, what I said about impeachment a little bit back? That it was possible that the Democrats, even if they did impeach Julius Geiser, might send the bill of impeachment over to the Senate, only to have Mitch McConnell refuse to even allow it to be tried. Some of y'all back then said, "Now, Bob, that's a little over the top. He couldn't do that." Well, see, that's the problem. There's nothing to compel Mitch McConnell to do a goddamn thing. And this just proves it. Again, 800,000 American citizens, federal workers, going without paydays. The government shut down of what is determined to be non-essential services. You know what's interesting? It always turns out that the essential services are the people who are making the real walking around money. The Congress, for instance, is an essential service. So, Chinless Mitch, he's going to get his paycheck. Kevin McCarthy over in the House, he'll get his paycheck. Hell, Julius Geiser will get his paycheck, and so will Jared, and so will precious Ivanka. Man, what a racket when you stop to think about it. Holy Jesus, I know. But it's people who keep the buildings going, who run, who do the maintenance, who make sure that the plumbing works. The people who are not making big money. Those are the ones who are wondering how they're going to pay their mortgages, their car payments, their insurance, their homeowners, their light bill, their water bill, their heating bill, gas, electric, what have you. How they're going to buy groceries. How they're going to keep fuel in their vehicles. How they're going to pay co-pays on drugs or deductibles at a doctor's office. Those are the ones, not the people with the six-figure salaries. And so it is that Mitch McConnell stands there doing the bidding of the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini, and not giving a tinker's damn what the consequences are. But by God, back in 2013, when that one was in our White House, well, by God, it's not conservative to have a government shutdown. Apparently, the definition of conservative is fluid, to say the least. Give me $5 billion or the country gets it. Let's see. Flavio tells me that E-Verify is down. That's the electronic wall that helps employers verify if workers are legally here. And we're beginning to see the effects of the shutdown now. For instance, not too long back, there was a horrible, heartbreaking auto accident on the highway in Florida. A semi tractor trailer rig and a passenger vehicle collided in North Florida. And they crossed the median and hit another tractor trailer and a passenger van that were going the other way. The whole thing erupted in a ball of fire. Five children on the way to Disney World from Louisiana were killed, as were the two tractor trailer drivers. As many as eight people were sent to the hospital with injuries of one degree or another. Oh, God. Well, guess what? When things like that happen, we have a government agency called the National Transportation Safety Board who deploy in order to sort out the cause of accidents like this. And oddly enough, establishing causation on these things is an important means of making sure that they don't happen again. Those National Transportation Safety Board investigators are not deploying to investigate this horrifying wreck, because they're furloughed. They're non-essential workers. No pay, no jobs, until the septuagenarian man-baby toddler decides to release the country from his hostage demands. Earlier today, a spokesperson for the National Transportation Safety Board left questions about the situation unanswered. Instead, there was an automated email response that mentioned the lapse in appropriations as the reason that there are no official government spokespeople to answer questions from the Fourth Estate acting on behalf of we the people. Meanwhile, remember when that gas line exploded in Massachusetts back in September? Well, that investigation is on hold now. And the NTSB can't do a damn thing about it. Other vehicle crashes, derailments, small plane crashes, they have all been set to the side because Geezer Disgustus is having a tantrum. Oh, well. By the way, now he says he wants the wall to be transparent steel, which is right up there with transparent aluminum, according to Mr. Scott. There's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. Yeah, yeah. David in South Carolina reminds me, the Transportation Security Administration is not getting paid, and they've been having what you might consider to be sick outs. It's not organized, not organized at all, but people are having to call in sick to their TSA jobs because they've got to find other ways of paying the bills until Chlamydia Claudius's tantrum is over. there have been significant absences at JFK Airport. Every day this week, as many as 170 TSA employees have called in sick. At Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, the call-outs have gone up somewhere between 200 and 300%. And it's happening at other airports as well. Charlotte and Raleigh-Durham are experiencing it. A union official noted that pay could be part of it, but for the most part, these are practicalities. You're talking about TSA workers who are single parents, who can't pay the babysitter because the man baby is having a fit. Or they're taking temporary work just to be able to pay the rent or keep the lights on. Yeah. And it's going to get worse. Because we're in one of, you might even dare to call this a constitutional crisis. Because there is nothing in the Constitution that can compel a resolution to this problem. Well, wait a minute. There is something in the Constitution that could, but is not being used because Congress has not done what Congress was empowered to do by Section 4 of the 14th Amendment. No one shall question the validity of the public debt. Well, when you let this happen, that's exactly what you're doing. A violation of a constitutional principle, a violation of a constitutional mandate, can be the grounds for a bill of impeachment. And Donald Trump is very clearly questioning the validity of the public debt when he says that he is willing to let the government hang fire for as long as it takes for him to get his incredibly stupid wall. In fact, he tried to justify his stupid wall earlier today in addressing the media.
Yes, ma'am. Go.
Your campaign promising supporters that Mexico is going to pay for the wall and that the wall was going to be made of concrete. You just said earlier that the wall could be made of steel, and right now our government is shut down over a demand from your administration that the American taxpayer pay for the wall. So how can you say you're not failing on that promise to your supporters?
Very nice question, so beautifully asked, even though I just answered it.
You didn't
answer. Look, let me
the
just
USFCA
tell you, excuse me, are you ready? Are you ready? I just told you that we just made a trade deal.
There it is, by the way. Excuse me. He always does that when his authority is challenged by a woman. Isn't that interesting?
Excuse me, are you ready? Are you ready? I just told you that we just made a trade deal, and we will take in billions and billions of dollars, far more than the cost of the wall. The wall is peanuts compared to what the value of this trade deal is to the United States. As far as concrete, I said I was going to build...
None of that money, if it even exists, goes into the federal treasury. There's no way that the cost of the wall can be funded by a trade deal. And even if it is, that's not the same thing as saying, New Mexico will pay for the wall. Fucking idiot.
build a wall. I never said, I'm going to build the concrete. I said, I'm going to build a wall.
You've said concrete.
Just so you don't, because I know you're not into the construction business.
Because he is. He knows all about concrete and steel. He knows about rebar.
What he knows about is bankruptcy. It's simply amazing that any building that he's had a hand in constructing, or a hand in the finance for the construction of, it hasn't simply collapsed upon itself.
You don't understand something. We now have a great steel business that's rebuilt in the United States. Steel is stronger than concrete.
No, the steel industry isn't rebuilt in the United States.
If I build this wall or fence or anything the Democrats need to call it, because I'm not into names, I'm into production. I'm into something that works. If I build a steel wall rather than a concrete wall, it will actually be stronger than a concrete. Steel is stronger than concrete, okay? In case you could check it out. Listen, if I build a wall and the wall is made out of steel instead of concrete, I think people will like that. And here's the other good thing. I'll have it done by the United States Steel Corporation, by companies in our country that are now powerful.
Yeah, no. Sorry. Just no. But that was, curiously enough, that was one of the saner moments this afternoon. And you remember that article that pointed out that the White House press office is a great big old steaming hot mess now? Well, that sort of, it came into glaring relief today. The White House press office, Office of the Press Secretary, media advisory, remarks by President Trump, Friday, January 4th, 2019. What? Remarks by President Trump. Where? Rose Garden at the White House. When? Friday, January 4th, 2019, 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Kind of missed that whole fall back thing that, you know, we're in standard time now. The availability will be open press and carried live at whitehouse.gov. They sent, by the way, the White House press office, the White House hot mess press office, they sent out the advisory at 1:41 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For, again, a press availability at 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I guess Sherman was going to fire up the Wayback Machine. And well, this is what happens when you hire Hot Tub Time Machine Whitaker as part of your administration, I guess. Let's see. Spring forward, fall back. So 1:41 Eastern Daylight Time would actually be 2:41 Eastern Standard Time. Nope, doesn't help, does it? Mm-mm, sorry. But according to Julius Geezer, hey, federal workers, 800,000 of them, are tickled pink that he's stiffing. You know, why is anyone surprised? His entire career is based on stiffing working people and ripping people off. This is a man who sold meat through the mail and Trump vodka and Trump steaks. Yeah, meat through the mail, right? This is a guy who ran a fraudulent university. This is a guy who wouldn't pay the artists and craftspeople who built his buildings. Jason points out, federal employees, when they do eventually return to paid government work, don't they all get paid retroactively for the time that they weren't working? They can, Jason. It is not mandatory. That has to be approved by Congress and the president. You think this guy's going to do that? They might be entitled to collect unemployment, Jason, if they are off work long enough. But I think most unemployment schemes require unemployment for a longer period of time, and they're not technically unemployed here. They are furloughed. I guess you'd say that's like a layoff. But regardless, the Clementine Caligula thinks that those people who aren't working are just having a high old time.
Companies have the smartest people in the world. Yes, ma'am. Hold it one at a time, please. Go ahead.
Mr. President, why not reopen the government to create more space to have that broader conversation?
Well, we think it could go very quickly. No, we won't be opening until it's solved. We think this is a much bigger problem. The border is a much more dangerous problem. It's a much bigger problem. It's a problem of national security. It's a problem of terrorists. You know, I talk about human traffickers. I talk about drugs. I talk about gangs. But a lot of people don't say we have terrorists coming through the southern border because they find that's probably the easiest place to come through. They drive right in and they make a left. Not going to happen.
A left? They drive right in, they make a left. At Albuquerque?
Not going to happen. So we're not going to do that. We won't be doing pieces. We won't be doing it in drips and drabs. And I'll tell you what. I've seen a lot of people over the last week and a half. I've been right in this magnificent structure right behind you. It's called the White House. And I was here.
Yeah, which you said was a shithole, but never mind.
On Christmas. And I was here. My family was in Florida. I said, go to Florida. And I didn't even find it to be a lonely place. There's something very special about the White House. But I was here Christmas. I was here on New Year's Eve. And I will tell you, the people that I've spoken with, and I've gotten to meet a lot of people that I wouldn't have met. A lot of people have been coming through the White House and explaining different things and different attitudes. A lot of people that you think are upset. And certainly they're not thrilled, but they say, sir, do the right thing. We need border security. And these are people that won't be getting paid. Border Patrol, yes.
These are people that exist only in between the in the sloshy spirochete infested spaces between his ears. These people.
Yesterday was saying, sir, we're affected by it. Do what's right. It's time. This is after many, many decades.
Many, many decades. But there are aspects of this that really are a constitutional crisis.
Mr. President, Senator Schumer came out and said that the meeting from his point of view and Speaker Pelosi's was contentious. He also said, you said in the meeting, this is him quoting you, I just want to check, that the shutdown could go on for months or even a year or longer. Did you say that? And
I did. I did.
Is that your assessment of where we are?
Absolutely, I said that. I don't think it will, but I am prepared, and I think I can speak for Republicans in the House and Republicans in the Senate. They feel very strongly about having a safe country, having a border that makes sense without borders. I've said it many times. We don't have a country. I hope it doesn't go on even beyond a few more days.
How about that? The country, we don't have a country without borders. But we have borders. There's never been a claim that we have no border. As Matt in San Francisco points out, if they make a left, they'll be in the Pacific Ocean. Well, there's that, too. But you know those devious terrorists with their Dr. Evil floating, I don't know, water wingy thing. No, they drive across. They drive across and they turn left and they just go down into the Pacific and and it's, you know, Autobots transform, and suddenly it's a speedboat or something. I think it may be the rest of us that wind up needing the antipsychotics after a while. Because as any mental health expert can tell you, when you live with mental illness that is not your own, it has a negative impact on the people who aren't mentally ill and can eventually make people who aren't mentally ill begin to suffer their own form of illness. So, yeah.
It really could open very quickly. I told them that bring who you want. We have three people. You can ideally bring three, but you can bring six, you can bring nine, you can bring 12.
Oh, good. He knows his multiplication tables for three. At least as far as 12.
And they're going to be working over the weekend. I think it may have been somewhat contentious, but I think it was very productive. I have to say that. And I think he said that too.
No, it wasn't productive. You know how I know it wasn't productive? The government isn't open. But as always, there's some chilling shit involved with all of this. Like his threat to declare a national emergency.
First, let me know when you get tired.
I'm not. Have you considered using emergency powers to grant yourself authorities to build this wall without congressional approval? And second,
yes,
on Mexico, you have.
Yes, I have. And I can do it if I want.
So you don't need congressional approval to build the wall?
No, we can use them. Absolutely. We can call a national emergency because of the security of our country. Absolutely. No, we can do it. I haven't done it. I may do it. I may do it. But we can call a national emergency and build it very quickly. And it's another way of doing it. But if we can do it through a negotiated process, we're giving that a shot.
So is that a threat hanging over the Democrats?
I never threaten anybody. But I am allowed to do that, yes.
Second question.
Called a national emergency.
Oh, okay. And because of the threat to our country, what threat? Poor people? Oh, wait, poor brown people. Poor brown people who know more about actual threats than Donald Trump will ever even begin to imagine, because that's why they're fleeing their homes in the first place. They were perfectly happy in places like Huehuetenango in Guatemala. In towns like Nenton. You know, that's where little Felipe Alfredo Gomez was from. Say his name. Perfectly happy there until those regions erupted in gang violence that was largely the doing of our own stupid war on drugs. Monique, with a question. Can we start examining Republicans still supporting Trump? What's their mental fitness for duty as senators? You know, there's no mental fitness requirement to be a senator. Just a matter of winning an election. If you had to have a mental status exam, I suspect Chinless Mitch would be heavily medicated, because the man is probably a sociopath at the very least. Sociopathy and psychopathy are often found at the higher levels of the executive ladder. By the way, Pam in Washington with a reminder, unemployment workers are non-essential, too, so those unemployment claims themselves would, in fact, be backlogged. Whew. So, emergency powers. And build it how? Well, yes.
Yeah. Many of those who own property on the southern border will lose their property because of this. And once this happens, they say that they could go to court with you for years. It could take years. Then also, what is a safety net for federal workers? You're saying months and possibly a year for this shutdown. Do you have in mind a safety net for those who need their checks, those who need SSI, those who need Medicaid, what have you?
Well, the safety net is going to be having a strong border because we're going to be safe.
Safe. We had faces, Max. Faces.
Jesus, what is this, Sunset fucking Boulevard?
The safety net is going to be because we're going to be safe. That makes a safety net.
Here's a thing to consider, though. At present, most of the rest of the government is funded through September the 30th. In his sick, twisted mind, can you not imagine a situation in where he tries to hold out until the rest of the government shuts down, too? And by the way, since we like our Latin around here, let's throw a little cui bono out there. Anything, any situation like this, you always have to ask cui bono. Who benefits? To whom the benefit? To whom the good? Vlad. Chaos always inures to the benefit of Mother Russia. By the way, why did the NASA administrator want to bring a sanctioned Russian to speak at Rice University? The guy was already under sanctions. He was integral in the messing around with the 2016 elections. There's no doubt about it. He's part of the dirty business in Ukraine. But he also is nominally the head of the Russian Space Agency. Oh, by the way, he's also a pal of the NRA, just like Jim Bridenstine, who is the NASA administrator, the first NASA administrator to have absolutely no background in anything that NASA does. And for some reason or another, he wanted to bring his pal there to Texas, you know, for just a little friendly chit chat. Might be worth paying attention to. Dmitry Rogozin. According to Jim Bridenstine, he was actively involved in a plan to bring Dmitry. Hello, Dmitry. Hello. To the U.S. for a little talk at Rice University. Rice University, getting wind of this a couple of days ago, sent out a statement via Twitter. They cited the following. Bridenstine, a former three-term Republican congressman from Oklahoma, told the Russian state news agency TASS in mid-October that he had succeeded in temporarily waiving sanctions on Rogozin so he could visit Houston and speak at Rice University, Bridenstine's alma mater, sometime after the new year. The U.S. and Russia cooperate extensively on space exploration, and according to the TASS report, Bridenstine stressed the need for a strong working relationship with his counterpart. Citing all of this, Rice University said, in response to social media inquiries, we want to clarify this point. There is no plan for Dmitry Rogozin to speak at Rice University. Because Rice University certainly recognized the decidedly weird aspect of all of this. So why did Jim Bridenstine make that statement to TASS and not to any American media outlets? It, by the way, Dmitry Rogozin is under American sanctions. He's barred from traveling to the U.S., and he has been for years, again, because he was front and center in the invasion of Ukraine. And he's hand-in-glove pals with the National Ruble Association. As late as Tuesday, according to Politico, Dmitry Rogozin was still planning to visit. And Bridenstine had told TASS that the Trump regime had agreed to temporarily lift the sanctions so that he could come to the United States. Oh, by the way, Dmitry Rogozin is a notorious white supremacist. Among other things, he hosted and made it possible for white supremacist secessionist groups to come and visit their kinfolk and their cousins in Mother Russia. Damn weird, isn't it? NASA has been mum on it, of course, during the shutdown. NASA probably has no spokespeople who can speak. GLAAD, an LGBTQ organization, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, via their president, Sarah Kate Ellis, offered the following when inquired of by the Houston Chronicle. Dmitry Rogozin has no business visiting our nation in the first place, much less being offered a speaking engagement at an academic institution. Rogozin also swelled around with the NRA when they came to play in Moscow in 2015. He posted social media pictures of him sitting next to notorious prisoner killer, David Clarkey of Milwaukee. Also in the photo, Alexander Torshin, who turned out to be the handler for Maria Butina. He was also in photos with NRA presidents Pete Brownell and David Keene and big-time NRA moneybags man Joe Gregory. Mm-hmm. He's one of the founders of an ultra-right-wing Russian political party, Rodina, and that's the bunch that invited the Texas secessionists to come and visit in lovely Petrograd. And then other secessionists from places like, oh, the state of Jefferson assholes in California went to Russia, too. And Hawaiian secessionists as well. I'm sure it's all just a big coincidence. Nothing to see here. These are not the droids you're looking for. Yeah, I know. I don't have a good one either. Oh, by the way, Mike Pencilneck Geek and other the top administration officials will be getting raises north of $10,000 here during the shutdown. no talk of anybody foregoing their salary. Nope. And so there's a hell of a lot of context there for lunatic statements like the following.
I'm not talking about economically, but ultimately economically. I really believe that these people, many of the people that we're talking about, many of the people you're discussing, I really believe that they agree with what we're doing. And we can have this, April, we can have this fixed very quickly. We can. This can happen by early next week. We're going to be working over the weekend. We can have a solution to this, but I wanted to keep it all at one point. And I think a lot of the people that you're referring to, April, are really wanting that to happen, too. I really believe a lot of them want to see border security, and they're willing to give it up. When I had the people in yesterday, they represent most of the Border Patrol. The people that you had yesterday that were at the news conference, they represent most of Border Patrol. Every one of them said, don't even think about us. Get this fixed. That is doing the great thing for our country.
Of course, Border Patrol is the outfit that now has notched their collective pistols with two little notches in the grip, one for a 7-year-old and one for an 8-year-old. Yeah. So I take Border Patrol with a grain of salt. What's that, Brother Deacon Asa? Oh, my God. So Jim Bridenstine is the real Okie from Muskogee? Oh, that's just evil. But, yeah, that's a keeper. Okie from Muskogee. Yeah. Muskogee. You see why that was art and comedy. Asa observed a little earlier, I'm beginning to think the pee-pee tape involves Trump pissing on Charles, on Chinless Mitch while Precious Lindsay claps along. Well, that was a visual I didn't particularly need right now, but, you know. By the way, because things like this sort of verge into Ace's areas of expertise. You're not in construction. Yes, yes, steel is stronger than concrete. That's why all the nuclear reactor walls are made of steel and not concrete. Fuck. Yeah. And by the way, I don't know if I should necessarily name the person who sent this, but I've been provided with the documents that furloughed employees are receiving. These are the documents I got when furloughed. I'm not exactly exempt from furlough, but they put that document in there in case that changed. You'll see an SF-8 standard form for unemployment. That's what we take to the unemployment office. We can file at any time. My agency's being a dick about it by discouraging people from filing, but that's no surprise given we work for Wilbur Ross. Let's see, shutdown fact sheet, time and attendance worksheet, notice to creditors, unemployment standard form, and notice for employees. Nice. By the way, Scott in San Diego, subject line, wall in the water. It's been a while since I've been down to the southwesternmost city in the continental U.S., Imperial Beach, California, but the wall, actually a fence, extends out into the Pacific Ocean a ways, maybe 100 feet or so. Robert in Australia with a question. Don't you miss, I miss that period of time between the fall of the Soviet Union and 9/11 when we didn't have to be afraid of the latest bogeyman. But you see, that's the problem, Robert. When you don't have a bogeyman to be afraid of, then all of a sudden, telegenic young presidents will start having oral sex with ambitious young women And then you and then you've got butthurt Republicans all over the airwaves shrieking about how the flag is falling. Yeah. 8-year-old little boy gets killed by a virus that he gets in American captivity, and it's crickets from the Republicans. On the other hand, a brown lady, a Palestinian-American named Representative Tlaib, she refers to Trump as a motherfucker, and, ooh, the flag is falling, flag's falling. Words mean things. Oh, my goodness. Why hasn't Nancy Pelosi sanctioned her? Well, if it was me, and it's not, I'd simply say truth is an absolute defense. Good on her for speaking. And what happened to, well, you know, she's just telling it like it is. She's just speaking the way average American, everyday American averages talk about things. I mean, we use that word around here. I mean, you know, not when anybody's watching. In point of fact, when this past weekend, when Alabama was playing Oklahoma and they were having some miscues, you know, people jumping, jumping before the snap on poor old number 74, still probably running laps. You could read the lips of Nick Saban as the camera was on him, and he with the second illegal procedure call, he hollered, "What the fuck is wrong with us?" Nick's never happy during a game. Oddly enough, the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, Republican, amosexual, gundamentalists in Alabama have yet to issue any stern condemnations. Although Liz Cheney, who is the Republican whip or something in the House, Liz Cheney was shocked when she heard Representative Tlaib had called Donald Trump a motherfucker. This, of course, is the daughter of the man who looked at Pat Leahy of Vermont in the well of the Senate and told him to go fuck himself. Irony is lost on Republicans. That's why the goddess of irony has to do ironic things to them from time to time, just to reassert the power of the concept. But yeah, the crazy was strong with him today.
As far as eminent domain, you're right, 100%.
By the way, eminent domain, Texas actually got around to passing a law that says eminent domain, which is a concept that says that people can be forced to sell their property at fair market value for projects of the government which inure to the benefit of we the people, things like highways, you know, airports, military installations, bridges. Yeah, that's it. But Texas said, no, we're not going to do that for private. And eminent domain is particularly loathed in Texas because, you know, your Texans are up by their own bootstraps, don't need no government, you know, rugged individualists. Right? Well, Trump wants to use eminent domain to build his stupid wall, which will have to be built as much as a half a mile or a mile back from the actual border. Fucking over farmers, people who live on golf courses, ranchers, and generally anybody who is outside the wall. These are complex ideas, however, and those are not his strong suit.
Eminent domain is very interesting, But without eminent domain, you wouldn't have any highways, you wouldn't have any schools, you wouldn't have any roadways. What we're doing with eminent domain is, in many cases, we'll make a deal up front, and we've already done that. The secretary has done a lot of that. And if we can't make a deal, we take the land and we pay them through a court process, which goes actually fairly quickly. And we're generous. But we take the land. Otherwise, you could never build anything. If you didn't use eminent domain, you wouldn't have one highway in this country. You have to use eminent domain. It's actually something you don't want to use it, but if you're going to do a stretch, as an example of...
There he is playing his accordion again, with his arms.
Pipelines and other things that go, you have to use eminent domain, otherwise you...
Now, see, that's the thing. A pipeline, a private company's pipeline, is not a proper a proper usage of eminent domain because, cui bono, it inures to the profit motive of the pipeline company and the oil and gas companies. It is not a public good.
You'd never be able to buy the land. If we had one person that wouldn't sell us out of hundreds, just one, it only takes one, that we wouldn't be able to build proper border security because we'd have that big opening that I was talking about. So what happens is some are paid up front. You make a deal up front, and we're willing to do that in all cases. And when they're unwilling to make a deal, which also happens, then you go to court. But in the meantime, we're able to build the border security. So I think it's a fair process. I think
build the border security? Now he's afraid to say wall?
I think it's a process that's very necessary, but I think it's fair.
But that couldn't that hold up your wall?
No, it's not going to hold it up because under the military version of eminent domain and under actually Homeland Security, we can do it before we even start. Now, a lot of times we'll make a deal. And I would say a good percentage of the time we're making deals. We have already purchased a lot of it. You know, a lot of the money that we've been given has already been spent on purchasing the land. The right.
No, it really hasn't. $1.6 billion largely untouched. But what is this military version of eminent domain? Bueller? I got nothing. Because the only military version of eminent domain that I know of is when you take your military and you make it go and squat on property, and that's called attacking something. So basically what he's saying is he would be willing to use the military to attack property owners inside the United States. And Brother Deacon Asa says, I got 10 bucks that says the orange sewer rat thinks eminent domain is something administered by GoDaddy. About the size of it. As this goes, as this shutdown continues, as he continues to hang 800,000 American citizens out to dry, the stress and the pressure and the danger will increase proportionate to the length of the shutdown. My position has been ever since we began to see what a monumental criminal enterprise this regime is. My position has been that this president must be removed from office peaceably, legally, and constitutionally. What happens when it becomes clear that he is trying to destroy the United States in total? What happens to peaceably, legally, and constitutionally? I am nonviolent. I do not advocate violence. But there are 800,000 Americans out there that are downright pissed off. And it's not just them. I read a report earlier today saying that the morale of the troops in Afghanistan is at an all-time low. An all-time low. and they feel abandoned by the president. Troops who feel abandoned by their commander-in-chief are dangerous troops. 7,000 of those of the 14,000 in Afghanistan will be coming home in fairly short order. So that's 807,000 people. The Secret Service isn't particularly thrilled right now either, because it turns out he played them for chumps. And these are the folks who are supposedly willing to take a bullet for him. Now, you might recall there was a problem with a Secret Service agent back during the Obama years, who said, "No way would I take a bullet for that Kenyan Muslim," or something to that effect. But Trump's people actually and actively lied to the Secret Service in terms of vetting people at his nasty-ass golf course in New Jersey. If they did it in New Jersey, they probably did it down at Mar-a-Lago. So the Secret Service, tasked with taking bullets, is probably not too happy either. Because the way that the Secret Service manages to not take bullets is by betting everybody near the president so that hopefully there won't be anybody using any bullets for them to take. But Trump's lackeys, his lick spittles, decided to try to pull a fast one on the Secret Service. That information is now in the hands of the FBI. Whether they act upon it is another matter entirely, because who knows what the FBI is doing now, and the degree to which that body is compromised. But all told, this man is putting himself in jeopardy. And, well, it might not... There's no predicting the conduct of 807,000 plus human beings. It just feels a little dangerous, I suppose. But I have filibobstered into the second hour of the program, and I'm gonna check a few emails here, and then we're going to get the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable started. Ron in Raleigh with a note: "Well, hell, Bob, all the government has to do is declare the property as blighted. Remember how that neighborhood in New Jersey, I believe, was declared blighted so a developer could build a private development? That went to the Supreme Court, and they said, that's okay." Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, blighted. That's code, by the way, if you were wondering. Blighted, that's code. Darlene in Connecticut says, "But irony's also a bit lost on Nancy Pelosi, who wasn't pleased with the motherfucker language, but didn't seem at all too put off by her own daughter's rather violent and graphic reference to her mom's political prowess when she said, 'Nancy Pelosi will cut your head off and you won't even know you're bleeding.' Referring to Trump as a motherfucker is fairly mild by comparison, I think." Well, yeah, it is. But, you know, the word itself becomes more dangerous based upon the amount of melanin in the skin of the person saying it. Clarence with a note says, the pain spreads like wildfire. Bob, the shutdown stops 800,000 from spending any money. I can only wonder how many businesses will be hurt by this silly move. The collateral damage will be astronomical. Meanwhile, Todd with a note, subject line, Palestinian. Do you love the way the itinerant Palestinian congresswoman expressed her opinion and refuses to apologize for her point of view? I have more to say about this, and don't build any more settlements on my land. Signed, Temple Owl. Yeah. Oh, and hey, we got started earlier. You know, I mentioned that Brother Deacon Asa said, I got 10 bucks that says the orange sewer rat thinks eminent domain is something administered by GoDaddy. Well, he put his money where his mouth is. And so we have only $390 to go in fundraising this evening. Yay! Thanks, Brother Deacon Asa, for getting us started this evening. Thank you so very, very much indeed. So, by all means, let's run over and check in with Sparky over in the old holler tree at the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Hey, Sparky.
I'm in the man cave. I'm not in no damn hollow tree.
Well, you got to work with the radio metaphor, Sparky. Doggone it.
Okay.
We've got an old holler tree. We've got an old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves.
And I'll be folding space here shortly as it gets colder.
Yeah, is it getting a little chilly?
Yeah. And Grady's going nuts on me.
Oh, really?
He does a thing we call a racetrack. He just starts running around crazy, like, just all around the property, just back and forth for about 5 minutes. Now he's up on the table staring at me.
He must be, what's he wanting?
I don't know. Not yet. Food, it isn't time for food. Oh, he wants me to shake his paw.
Aw, what a good boy.
So what else is new besides Trump, Bob?
I've actually got other stuff out there. We've got Brat Kavanaugh is going to have his first chance to invade the reproductive organs of women all over the country. That's going to happen soon. That's out there. Let's see here. What else?
You know what's bugging me about Trump?
What?
He says he knows everything there is to know about drones. This coming from a guy who thinks planes are actually invisible.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've got an invisible. And, you know, since it's invisible, who are we to challenge him, right, Sparky?
Right. Well, don't you all know that Trump has invented transparent steel?
Yeah, steel you can it's yeah, steel you can see through.
Right. There's an invisible wall being built somewhere.
Well, I mean, if it's see-through steel,
nobody's seen it.
Well, the wall's probably already built, and he's just trying to scam the money now. Seeing as how it's see-through and everything, you know, people just walk into it and boom, oh, you know.
They already built the wall in San Diego. Well, San Diego already had a damn wall.
He's such an asshole.
He never lets the facts get in the way of his narrative. That's the thing about Trump, you know? Yeah.
I tell you when shit's going to hit the fan, and you can mark this, when people don't get their tax refunds, and they will not get them. They will not be processed. You can file them, but as long as this shutdown's going on, you will not get a refund check. That's when all this shit's going to hit the fan.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, y'all are all upset about something. Didn't you hear him? Every president has told him that they wish they would have built the wall. Every one of them. All of them.
Yeah, because, you know, he had a seance with America's most alcoholic president, Franklin Pierce, who, of course, is a direct ancestor of George W. Bush. Then there's our only bachelor president, James Buchanan, He said he would have built the wall. Might have stopped the Civil War and all. Yeah.
It probably would have, Bob. Well, you know, in Donnie's world, baby, in Donnie's world, you know.
I'm sure he was wandering around talking to all the dead president's pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, he loves dead presidents.
Which puts him on the Nixon timeline, Sparky. I mean, it was 1974 before Nixon was wandering around looking at the photos and saying, TR, they just don't understand me. They just don't.
They just don't understand.
And he was, you know, he was putting a straw in a bottle of Johnny Walker and sucking down phenobarbital like M&Ms by then.
Well, then there's hope. Maybe we can get Donnie start drinking. Somebody send that bottle to him.
Well, didn't Tricky Dick slap around Pat at one point during the whole Watergate thing?
I don't recall that.
I heard that he did. He struck her. He lost his temper, and he struck her several times. And he even made a joke in a press briefing, something to that effect. But it was one of these things like, "Hey, what do you think I do? Slap my wife or slap Pat in the face?" But it was really weird. And I was watching this documentary about that, and I can't remember what the documentary that was now.
Well, he made a statement one time that to the press that he had quit beating his wife also.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah. But it was a weird thing.
I think it was a metaphor.
Yeah, it was a metaphor, but it's kind of a sort of a Freudian slip that maybe he was kind of admitting to that effect. But I've heard that it somebody confided, it was either one of the White House staff people, they witnessed something really horrendous or heard something. So I don't know. You know, it's been a long time. But I feel sorry for Pat, or felt sorry for her, because Nixon was not really a gentle.
No, he wasn't a nice guy.
No, he was not a nice guy, you know, and the whole thing with bombing came.
He was a Quaker with a deep-seated sense of the sanctity of human life. That's the line uttered by the crazy general in my favorite comedy, The In-Laws, as played by Richard Libertini, who explains to Peter Falk and Alan Arkin, "I am a Quaker with a deep-seated respect for the sanctity of human life. It is a pity that I have no choice but to kill you." Nixon, the man who slaughtered millions of civilians in Vietnam, was really, no kidding, a Quaker, and the Quakers never threw him out.
That's right. And my folks,
religion, voted, baby.
My folks voted for Nixon because they said, "Oh, he's a Quaker. He'll end the war." Oh no, and I couldn't believe it.
Not all Quakers were created equal.
He's the first fucking Republican I got to vote against.
And you enjoyed it so much, Sparky, you kept on doing it for the rest of your life.
Yep.
I think we tickled Otto. That's lovely.
Yeah, you tickled Otto. Well, Otto's in a ticklish mood. It's about that time. Oh, almost 4:20.
And he was my commander in chief at the time.
Ah, damn it!
Oh no! So you were in the military, man cave?
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously. What branch?
Air Force.
Oh, sweet! Air Force would be the way to go.
Yeah, yeah. Some say that.
Well you couldn't get me on a ship. You couldn't get me on a ship.
If Trump was smart enough, he could have gotten the Air Force, but he wouldn't even pass the entrance test.
Shit, no. But I'm sure he would have made a fine general.
But I'd like to know what Trump did to his mind. You know, maybe he was like doing line after line of cocaine. Was it a fact that he was a cocaine addict?
Adderall.
So he was always into speed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe he just got it legally.
Peed skills, dude. Peed skills.
Wee!
Feed at the drag, it's big drag. Set your mind on fire, make your organs sag. Coke is a joke, rather take a toke than... Oh, y'all, that shit.
No, go, John.
There's a whole song about that shit. Shit. I ain't that good a singer. You can ask anybody.
Well, I refuse to try.
Hey, Sparky, Sailor Chick is trying to get into the conversation there, and I think she sent you a contact request, so if you could bring her in, that would be helpful.
Yes, she did. She just accepted or whatever.
Yeah, it looks like
okay.
She can get in. Looks like she's in if her name's Nancy.
Yep.
Hello, yeah, hey, Nancy. Hey, good. How are you guys doing? I just had to mute my laptop. Okay, we're in.
Hey, Nancy.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome. Thank you for coming.
You're doing great so far. Is there an issue with talking about the shutdown?
Yeah, no. I got off of social media mainly so I could kind of go under the radar a little bit for a while anyway, but and I'm a little bit nervous about it. But this notion that we support what he's doing, I can speak for myself, absolutely not. And I'm sure even the people that support him are going to feel the pain from this. So it's utterly ridiculous that he gets up there and he lies.
Out his ass. There's prison guards here in Statesboro, Georgia, that don't support this shit and have already come out and said enough. But we want to get paid, you know. Well, we can't make our car payment, you know.
Right. And a lot of federal workers just don't make the kind of wages they can make on the outside, or it's the only good job in town. We're scattered all over the country, and it's going to be hard after a couple of pay periods. It's going to be hard for a lot of people. They're going to be diving into their any reserve that they have at all, and a lot of people don't have much money in the bank. So,
sure. And Sailor Chick, I'd like to know your take on how you felt when they sent out this notice. Well, go grovel with your landlord and ask if you can do any chores for him to make up. Jesus Christ, the nerve of these people, man!
Hire a private attorney to negotiate.
Get a hold of my attorney.
Yeah,
He's on retainer.
Yeah, I just keep one on retainer.
I don't do that. Sorry, Nancy.
It's just unbelievable that
what nerve?
People.
Tone deaf.
And
tone deaf.
I got right, exactly, totally tone deaf. And during that conference today, that presser today, I was watching. Who was that gray haired guy standing behind Trump? Not Pence, the other guy.
Wasn't that Kevin McCarthy? Isn't that the House?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He was kind of smirking when Trump was saying that we didn't mind going without pay and all this other shit. I was really, really insulted by that.
Well, you got to, but you got to.
They're not going without pay.
You got to remember, Sailor Chick. And I'm not, you know, mansplaining, but
no,
Republicans despise the idea of government itself, and ergo they despise people who work for the government who aren't themselves.
Oh, absolutely. I've known this for a while. A lot of this started coming out with, who was it, Newt Gingrich, I think, and his contract on America, whatever the hell that was. That was really the beginning of
Absolutely.
The organized disdain. That was the organized disdain for federal workers, that we became
smoking Joe Scarborough. That's why I have no tolerance for that fucker. Whatsoever,
well, see,
man.
I think it goes back further myself, because I remember St. Ronnie of Raygun standing behind a microphone and saying,
the nine most dangerous words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Yeah.
Mommy.
That's a fact, baby. It was Reagan
yes.
who started this downfall, baby.
And yeah. Didn't he cut a vinyl record, a long playing record about the evils of Medicare?
Yes.
I'm quite certain that he did.
Oh,
yeah,
he did. He did. He did. He absolutely did. By the way, I just had a note in from Earther, and I can proudly note that we are down to $384 to go in the fundraising to close the week. I wonder if Todd saw the guy in Washington Journal who was a descendant of FDR who said that Nancy Pelosi lied on everything yesterday, and all the other 25 cents are called Democrat trolls, you know, Democrat in quotes. Well, why don't we find out? I think we've got Todd with us. Hey, Todd.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. You there?
I'm here, and that was astounding.
You heard that?
I don't even know what to think about people anymore. It's disheartening. Can you imagine? And you know what's funny? I am who I am, right? Sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll go on YouTube and look at the Great Depression documentary or the Civil War documentary, just because, you know, keep things fresh. And yeah, it was Roosevelt. I mean, just 2 days before, maybe the night before, you know, it's a 7-part series on the Depression. It's 7 parts. But anyway, yeah, can you imagine? That's a Washington Journal. I mean, it's frightening. These people are around us every day. When we go to the supermarket, they're next to you.
Right, yeah, they walk. That's why I say it so many times. They walk among us.
It's the pod people.
Caught me off guard.
And their internal monologue is nothing but MAGA, MAGA, Brames.
I have a question. On The Walking Dead, I wonder if that's where all the MAGA supporters come from, you know?
It's the invasion of the body snatchers. That's what the Trump supporters are, man. At those rallies, they must get some kind of serotonin uptake. I feel high, man. I don't care if he's lying or not. I just like the guy.
Yeah, what was that, Todd?
I was just wondering, how is it that all Americans can almost see the same incidences, the same facts, and come to complete opposite conclusions? Because there are at least a statistically significant, like at least 30 to 33% of the callers, Washington Journal, they say he's the greatest president that will ever go down in American history. And they mean that.
Todd, I'm in on this too, because I got to suffer through it, and I'm wondering if half of these aren't plants or bots, you know. And I've thought that for a very long time now, because collectively people could not be that stupid.
Well, they were in.
Are you sure about that?
In Germany, they were.
I don't know. I mean, Todd, do you think there's any chance that these are bots, or are these people really the people that we're out there getting groceries with every day?
I think, Steve, you sound great, man. How you doing anyway? How you doing?
I'm doing good, brother. It's always good to hear from you, my friends. Thanks for calling in, man.
You too. Always good to hear your voice. So, and the hard work you do. So I think some of the folks, I think, are phony. Like, well, some will say, well, I used to be a Democrat or I used to be a Republican. But some folks just are weird, and they get paid to call in stations too. We got that.
You mean Nicola Post types? I remember that from back during the dim leader reign of error.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And they'll call in on the Democrat line and say, "Well, I used to be a Democrat, but you know." And then they'll start spewing this right wing hate.
Well, they also right into the Washington Post and stuff. In the comments section, they load up with Russian trolls. We've been able to identify a bunch of them. They have misspellings and grammatical errors that are, it look like, you know, they've tried to process English through a translator. So it's a real problem everywhere.
Oh, and I have a little entertainment interlude here, speaking of what we're speaking of, because we're at the halfway point of the program. And so, you know, let's take a moment to appreciate the arts in America, shall we? Oh, wait, it helps if I unmute. I want you to know these ladies are having a good time.
President Trump is a mighty man. running this country the best that he can. The media swarms and the networks lie, but he doesn't flinch. He's a fearless guy. Get out the way, old man Schumer, get out the way. Stubborn Nancy, get out the way. All you haters, Trump's on a roll and it's gonna get greater. President Trump is a mighty man, draining the swamp and stuff
his
plan. Let's round them up one by one. Save our country, get her done. Get out the way, old man Schumer, get out the way. Stubborn Nancy, get out the way. All you haters, Trump's on a roll and it's gonna get greater.
Alaman left, Alaman right.
President Trump is a mighty man. Maybe you're not his greatest fan. Economy's strong and the stocks.
Man, I needed that. That was hilarious.
Wasn't that great?
That's like a satire. Is that not, you know, like
I remember. I am so old that I remember.
Know what that word means.
I'm so old that I remember when white wingers lost their collective shit when a group of young black teenagers did a video where they marched around singing about how much they respected Barack Obama, and the white wing was all, oh, my Jesus, he's going to have his urban ghetto gangs take us away to his Obama re-education camps and make us do Negro things.
Old man Trump was a mighty man. He came when Obama was on his lap. And he walked around and he said, she's so beautiful, I wish there were no incest laws.
You got it. Clarity, you got to admit the chorus on that's kind of catchy. Get out the way, old man Schumer, get out the way, stubborn Nancy. I heard that early this morning, and it has been stuck in my mind, and I'm just walking around. Get out the way, old man Schumer, get out the way, stubborn Nancy, get out the way, all you haters. And
that's the risk of your profession. You got to listen to stuff like that.
And you know what? If we don't knock out some of this fundraising goal tonight, I'm going to play it again, and then you'll all be fucking earworm.
Oh no!
Y'all said money in. Damn it! I don't want. I got sick just then. Y'all said money in. I don't want to hear that shit again.
Starland Vocal Band or Paper Lace and Night Chicago Died. We got some good ones, don't we, Bob?
Hey, I love the Starland Vocal. You know what? I'll go to. I'll go to, let's see, what was it? They say you came to Baltimore from Ole Miss, a class of 7-4 gold ring. Remember, Moonlight Feels Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that related to those little girls? Remember those little girls that were singing?
Yeah, no, those are not the little maggot girls. That's like maybe the little maggot girls' grandmas, but the little maggot girls got stiffed. Yeah, the campaign didn't pay.
Like everybody else at work. That's why you know there ain't no wall built, because if there was, there'd be some contractors out there screaming about getting paid.
And Silent R. Lamar is telling me that's
class
actually...
actions filed on, again, by them.
Silent R. Lamar tells me that's actually the music part of it is the theme from Daniel Boone.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Well, have you seen the old an old Saturday Night Live with Eddie Murphy? He plays this kind of a reggae rock star, but they're performing in front of Kiwanis Club for fire department people. And one of the songs is Kill All the White People, Kill Them Now. And they go into this big rage. And it's the funniest skit. But that's how they think, you know.
Yeah, I remember. I remember Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood and his famous poem, "Kill My Landlord," "Kill My Landlord," "Kill My Landlord," C I L L, "Kill My Landlord."
Yeah. Please.
Yeah, sick humor is fun.
makes you forget the misery for a few minutes.
Oh, good God, sick humor. We're ate up with it right now. We're living it.
We got enough of it. Well, if you want to torture us, Bob, if you want to torture us, just play 20 minutes of Trump at that like that last cabinet meeting he had.
Oh, God.
He just went on and on and on.
No, that's what he did today in the Rose Garden.
From his latest pep rally.
Today in the Rose Garden was nothing but me. Look how great I am.
But he's incoherent, you know, and he's got that speech pattern.
You know the white wing has been agitating for a civil war for a while now, and I always used to hear that and think, well, you know, how are they going to get that started? And now with him talking about military eminent domain and using the military to build the wall, he's actually talking about having the United States military invade parts of the United States, and all of a sudden it becomes abundantly clear that's how you start it.
That's right.
I mean, I would appreciate it if you would tell me that's just crazy.
No, it's not.
No, it's not crazy. It's all planned. It's all divisively planned.
But yesterday was a day of celebration when we took the house with such force. Yeah, I don't know if anybody's seen that. The Muslim lady, what's her name, Ilhan Omar, that had from Minnesota that had the headwear on. I have not seen anything that moving since Karen walked down the aisle. And I mean that. I was very stirred by that. And I was thinking to myself, we can't fuck this up. We cannot fuck this up. We got to get to work, and we got to get to work now. You know?
That's right.
Why are Karen's not listening to you, to this program?
Well, she would agree. I said since, you know.
I'm playing. Yeah.
But I was just moved, and the way Nancy called all the kids up, and they all looked like it was something out of a United Nations picture, you know, all ethnicities up there and everything. I was moved. I was moved to tears almost, and I was like, well, there is hope, God damn it, and we cannot fuck this up, and the fight has got to start, and it starts with us, and it starts today.
Amen, brother. Because that's what I say. Twice today I've heard somebody say, oh, I'm concerned, I'm worried, John, I'm terrified. Fuck that shit. Are you shitting me? We just took the house.
Fuck that. It's time to fight.
It's time. This is the halftime. The midterms was the halftime, baby. We washed over the house. Now we have it. Now we got the ball. There's the goal line down there. What the hell are we going to do? I say we march down there.
It's just two touchdowns in the lead.
Bob has taught me that impeachment is not. We got impeachment. It's in our pocket. We don't need to whip that shit out right now.
No.
Investigation's going.
Time is on our side, man. Let the electoral toss his ass out. That'd be better.
We have a blueprint for this shit. It was Nixon himself. He did not resign until the Republicans in the Senate turned against him. And until we get those senators to turn against him, and the only way we're going to do that is to shove the shit in their face.
Hey, John.
Make them defend it, baby. Make them defend it. You know?
I love it.
It's all lies.
There's a note here. Can I read a little chat room? Glaze75, he has a comment. Poor Trump. Pence had to swear in an atheist today. LOL.
Ain't that sad.
Isn't that terrible?
Did it on a law book.
Yeah, that's great.
On the Constitution, actually.
She's not just an atheist, she's also bisexual.
Bisexual, that's right. Don't you know that chapped his ass? Oh, man.
Did you see his expression?
Twice as many votes.
He was like loving the fact that he has a crush on her. Did you see that? Did you see the way he was looking at her?
That's seriously. She's white. She's white and blonde. Like
she's
he is.
Single. It's like, oh.
Yeah. Mother's hovering somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So no, he gave her Paul Manafort's phone number.
Oh, jeez.
So, this guy's in jail. He's my agent, though.
Hey, Todd. Let me kind of shift gears here for a minute. By the way, wonderful. Got some good news. Thanks to Gary and thanks to Sailor Chick, we're down to $304. Thank you, thank you, Sailor
God,
Chick,
I
and thank
hear
you, Gary.
That song again.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So we're down to 304 to go to finish the week.
Keep donating, people, or he'll play that damn song again.
It's queued up and it's paused. I can make it worse though. I can just sing it for them.
Oh, please send it to somebody. Come on. I know there's some.
You're going to cause your server to crash, Bob. Don't do that, please.
No, make that a requirement for all head-on subscribers. They got to memorize that if they want to show true loyalty to Bob.
Get out the way, all you haters. Sorry. Like I said, it's stuck. But Todd, I wanted to ask you a question because some of this stuff is logistically complicated enough that if we're even going to think about doing it, we need to start thinking about doing it now because we got about 7 months in which to pull it off.
What's up?
Well, you know, Netroots Nation's in Philly this year.
And, I heard that.
And you're a Philly guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got, you're a Philly guy, we got Randy, who's a Philly guy, and, I mean, here's the conundrum. It runs like the 11th, 12th, and 13th of July in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And Netroots Nation itself is pretty damned expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And they opened their hotel room blocks today. But the question, it would be kind of hard to have a horn in the middle of it because, you know, what I kind of envisioned is like, for instance, we could gather we could have an in-person Friday on the front porch, among other things, which I think mm-hmm. would be big fun.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, to like do the barbecue thing, have a barbecue and a get together or something. I think we would either have to have it before or after the actual event itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, is it because I know exactly zero about Philly. Are there places that would be friendly-ish to setting up, say, an Acorn and doing some pork butts and whatnot and carrying on?
Absolutely. In the Northwest, of all different parts of the city, but the safest and nicest part in the northwest part of the city, they have, you know, Fairmont Park is huge and it's very green, but they had these public fire pits, like a pavilion with a fireplace, and, you know, and just set up, do your own thing, you know, you just do your own thing.
Are there like public laws about having a keg or anything?
Generally, if you're an adult, they don't mess with you. As long as they don't smell anything too bad and nobody's acting up.
I don't want to get pinched, Todd.
Pardon me?
I don't want to get pinched, bro.
One of the things I was wondering about is. I wonder if they've got any kind of facilities over at Bartram's Gardens.
You know, I'm not sure, but I know when you were talking about going there, I happened to go to the website, and they've upgraded things. You know, they keep upgrading because, you know, gentrification and everything. Because when I was growing up, you could just roll into the park, you know, and it was great. It's beautiful. But Bartram Gardens, you know, I'm not sure, but their website, It's definitely green, and I see what you're saying with that because that could serve a dual purpose. You know what I mean? Because that's where you want to visit, right? Mm-hmm. And yep. So you know, I'll be honest with you. Now I've been down to the Tinicum and down to John Hines, which is down near the airport.
Tinicum Park Florida. Is really nice.
Right. See, it's a natural preserve. Mm-hmm.
Who's that?
Have your name again?
Tinicum Park.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry.
That's Sailor Chick, Todd.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking at a map of it. My mom lives in the northeast suburban area called Fairless Hills, so that's about a 30-minute drive from the city.
Sure. I know where Fairless Hills is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'm looking to see exactly where Tinicum Park is. That's right on the Delaware Canal.
That's near the airport. That's down near the airport. That's like Southwest Philadelphia.
I usually pass the signs for it when I'm driving down 95.
Mm-hmm.
So that might actually be a place to look into, you know.
Now, nice. Bartram nice. Gardens is a historic area.
Airport accommodations. I'm sorry, Todd. I don't mean to walk on you.
Well, no,
you're not, brother.
No, that's the reason I keep thinking about Bartram's Gardens is, of course, that's Agnes's great 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 grandfather.
That's why I brought it up like that.
Yeah.
If I don't get my refund check, though, I won't be able to come. Bastards.
And will the IRS be able to process those if we stay shut down?
No.
No, they said today that no refunds.
I posted an article earlier, Bob. I'll send it to you.
Nope. See, this is what
they better give me my fucking interest too.
Well, this is what I mean when I say that
many times as I've been audited and I've had to pay them interest, they better fucking return the favor.
See, you see, and look, this is us. This is us. Yep. Wait for the maggots. This is not even what we're talking about. But this is serious doo-doo. When are these people going to wake up? But they're not going to blame him. They're going to blame somebody else because they're delusional like he is. I'm sorry. But, yes. Oh, my goodness. It's just ridiculous. What the fuck, man? Why in the hell are we going through this bullshit? This is bullshit.
Well, and that's what I was getting at. I wasn't trying to be alarmist a few minutes ago. When I said that, you know, I'm peaceable and I always argue in favor of nonviolence, but that ain't the maggot way. And you let the maggots not get their tax refunds, and shit'll get real. As James in Illinois just pointed out, he said, Todd, they hate all the same people, but he said the Don just said months or years. He's flying by the seat of someone else's pants. Republicans at some point will lean very heavily upon him. If he continues to act like a mad dog, he'll get what mad dogs get. McConnell is not going down with the SS Trump.
Well, I don't know about y'all, but I look forward to my refund check. It helps me out. It helps me pay off credit cards and car payments and cut down on the mortgage and all that, you know.
Can I ask just two or three simple questions? Because this is what I hear these people call in all these radio stations like lots. Simple questions. Number one, yes or no, does the population of the United States grow every year? Yes or no?
I presume yes. Yes.
All right. So even with automation, we need more people to service more people. That's just number one. Number two, the people out here complaining about federal workers, they sound like people who didn't go to school, didn't do well in school, couldn't pass a civil service test, and don't understand that really, you don't make shit. You work for the university or civil service. You know, the reason you go there is that you like your work, you enjoy your work, and you know you have a steady paycheck and you have benefits. And you can retire, and it's fine. And you know, and it's a good life. It's a happy, good life. And you know, you're doing good. Civil service. I mean, the Romans knew that. You always need bureaucrats. I don't understand these people.
23 years, I'm still struggling my ass off.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
And I call that government employee envy.
I had 7 years active duty and 16 years civil service working for Department of Defense. I'm barely struggling to make my bills, baby.
I understand, man. It's a week-to-week struggle. It is.
But they would make you out to be a billionaire sitting on your behind like you're not doing it.
You have to have some other form of income on top of your retirement funds.
You're looking at it. My voice is the only other income.
This is going to come to a head. I'm serious. Listen. And I was listening to you. You know, we've been talking about this. Mitch McConnell is up there with the evil geniuses in history. But guess what? His job is to make that shit work. He's not going to put up with this shit too much longer. They're going to come, and this is what's going to fuck Trump up. They're going to come together because remember, when the House and the Senate, they can override the president. I'm sorry, I'm yelling.
Well, let me thank Steve and Miss Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy. They just saved me. They just uncomplicated my ciphering by getting rid of that random $4 banging around out there. So we're now down to $2.90, and that's a big damn deal.
Oh, hell yeah!
Baby, send more money. None of us want to hear him sing that song.
Get out the way, stubborn Nancy. But no, I want to look at this from kind of a
question.
Well, hold on. I want to kind of look at this from a labor perspective real quick. All of these civil servants, for instance, the TSA workers, they've got a union. But it's a public sector union, which means that there's a no strike clause. Can't go on strike against the government.
Yep. And that's been around forever and a day, Bob.
There's also the anti-deficiency rule. So the people who are working, sorry to cut you off, the people who are working have to work by law.
Yeah.
They have to be there.
So isn't it a little bit inequitable that for all practical purposes, these workers can't strike? But the government can go on strike against them, because that's basically what the Republicans in Congress have done. They've gone on strike against the people who keep the government going.
Well, we have a term for it called a lockout, Bob. It's a lockout.
That is precisely what it is, Sailor Chick. It's a fucking lockout.
Exactly.
And those are illegal under private sector labor laws.
Mm-hmm. So why don't the labor lawyers, the high powered labor lawyers,
good luck with
step
that,
up?
Rick.
Yeah.
Well, because the Congress insulates itself from this sort of thing.
Right.
I don't envy the TSA workers, okay? But at some point in time, forcing someone to continue to work for no recompense is called involuntary servitude, and that is fucking banned under the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, except in cases of incarceration.
Well, you know, the TSA, it was in the news that it's a possibility they could have a sick out. You can call it sick.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's beginning.
And I don't blame them. Sick out, bro.
That happens at enough airports across this country, and it's going to start throwing a wrench into all this shit.
Well, the air traffic
controllers. Wait a minute. Isn't that the blue flu? Wait a minute. That doesn't work in the courts. That's the blue flu. That doesn't work.
You just think all these defense contractors, when they start getting a lockout.
Well, tug that thread a little bit harder. So there's a big sick out, and I don't know, some ISIS MS-13 terrorist riding lawnmower gets through.
So I won just the other day. Just come right across the border there, buddy. I just see him. I think he's on the way.
And then, of course, there. And
he's
then,
heading to your house, Bob.
And then there's Field Marshal Maggot standing in front of the microphones yelling,
"Well, obviously, this is the Democrats' fault because they won't build my wall."
You know, hey, dumbass, the wall won't stop an airplane.
Yeah.
Which is where most of our illegal immigration comes from, and terrorists, and every damn thing else he's talking about.
What's he going to do about the people tunneling?
Drugs. Yeah. They come in through the damn checkpoints at the port of entry.
There's a reason why the post office cut themselves loose from the government teeth back in the 70s. And this is exactly why. Because they did not want to be held hostage, you know?
Yeah, they wanted an independent source of funding. I mean, I think that was also a Republican idea to kind of make it...
the Republicans hate it. Oh, they hate it. They're trying to destroy the post office. Well, they're trying to make them fund pensions for people that aren't even born yet.
Yeah, right.
That's why they're in the red.
In advance.
Yeah.
Did they get rid of that finally, or did the federal government just stop making payments?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Rick. That was in one of the House bills that was introduced yesterday, that they could get rid of that. Ridiculous. There's no business on the planet that could thrive.
Steve, are you serious?
You're funding the pre-born retirement packages, right?
For 75 years in advance, people that aren't even born yet.
Maybe the United States won't even be around then. Who knows? At the rate we're going.
But you don't have to worry about your mail. Your mail will be here.
Yeah, your mail.
I noticed that. But the IRS checks,
you're
going to
get your bills, you know.
The IRS checks will definitely not be in it. I got a couple of appearances in front of the IRS, a summons appearance for my client on January 9th. And I got another meeting with an IRS appeals officer January 16th. I'm I'm telling my client on the 9th, you know, hey, forget it. You know, you're not going to show up because I don't think the government's going to be open, you know. It's ridiculous.
Well,
huh? Yeah.
Well that's kind of interesting because here in West Virginia, we had a little spat between two U.S. district judges.
Oh.
U.S. District Judge Irene Berger in the Southern District of West Virginia entered an order to hold in abeyance every case for 14 days to give the government a chance to reopen.
They're not going to open.
Well, but here's where it gets interesting. This past Wednesday, a federal judge named Joe Bob Goodwin, who's been on the bench 14 years longer than Judge Berger.
His name's not Joe Bob. Seriously, is it Joe Bob?
Yeah, it's Joe Bob.
Oh, my God.
You're kidding.
Judge Joe Bob. And
his last name Dandy?
he was on the Dukes of Hazzard, I think.
Joe Bob Goodwin has been on the bench for 14 years longer than Irene Berger, and he turned around and issued an exception order, and he said, cases in my courtroom are going to continue, because here's what's kind of cool about it, because the Department of Justice lawyers are saying, oh, we can't come to court because government shut down, and Joe Bob Goodwin said, I find that the government shutdown is a dispute internal to one party, the federal government. It is my view that the government should not be given special influence or accommodation in cases where such special considerations are unavailable to other litigants. Good on him.
Yeah.
Nice.
In other words, show up, you assholes. Show up, you maggot lick spittles.
Yeah. Well, Bob, you know, a similar thing what happened in the D.C., the district of the D.C., some of the judges there, I think Judge Richard Leon, who's fairly well known, he was involved in the AT&T merger case that Trump is now appealing, you know, AT&T and I forget what the other company was. He basically said, look, I'm not going to grant any request to stay any government cases. You guys are going to appear in my court. This is a dispute that's between, you know, the executive and the legislative branches. And, you know, that's not my problem. You know, you guys work it out, basically. And there was another judge that has done the same thing in the D.C., district of D.C. So, it's kind of surprising to see the judges do that. But it's like, you know, why should they be held hostage to the federal government shutdowns? That's one reason I left the government after 23 years. You know, I survived the Gingrich shutdown of the mid-90s and another shutdown during the Obama years when the Republicans had taken over the House. And I just said, forget this. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I'm going to basically throw my abuser out the door. You know, I'm tired of it.
Wow.
You
know?
Well, and that reminds me, Rick, what do you – I've been talking a little bit about
– I have a question with people who are going to –
Okay.
Okay. So look, it's not about blacks. But I'm just saying, you know, there's a meme and there's history that shows that you see, civil service jobs were some of the first really good jobs that black folk could get way back in the day, like before Woodrow Wilson. You know, because there were a lot of black people who had education, but they just couldn't get decent jobs. You know, so you have degrees, you might have a doctorate, but you're, you know, in the launch because nobody's going to hire you. So then when D.C. opened up, you know, it's like, oh, come on to D.C. because why are you? That's why D.C. is so black, one of the reasons. And then, you know, then you had the post office, and that also helped. But it helped a lot of people get into the middle class. You know, civil service jobs. It didn't mean you were substandard, but, I mean, there's something to that. And because you listen to the people who call in the Washington Journal, it just sounds like this angry, old, crotchety white people who are just pissed off because they don't have shit and they don't know shit. You know, I'm just saying, that's what they sound like. Now, Steve, you,
that's what
come
they
on,
are.
You know.
They're
They may as well just start their, you know how they have the Democrats, the independents. They need to have a line for angry white guys. You know,
well,
I can't even listen to them anymore. I can't listen to that show anymore because of these people.
Well, y'all got to remember the 30-something percent approval rating that he has. Those are the people, the teabaggers, all the haters and shit that came out the day Obama was elected.
Yeah.
These people are the holdover from Obama. They hated Hillary because Obama
was
black.
You're exactly right.
Hillary, why are people talking about Hillary?
These are the hateful son of bitches that are so racist you can't never wash that out of them.
They lost their minds when Barack Hussein Obama took the office of the presidency. They lost their fucking minds and they're still there.
And that's what they're still fighting today. They've latched on to their white knight, Donnie, and there he came in to save the white race. Fuck you.
He's doing is fucking everything up, man. He's ruining the United States.
Well, it's going all according to Vladimir Putin's plan, I guess.
We have a Russian agent there. That's
very good point, Miss Nancy. You're spot on.
Well, I was in the Navy during the Cold War, and back then the goal was for them to undermine American society and American democracy, and that hasn't changed a bit.
Did you know the Walker family, the family of spies in the Navy?
No, I didn't know them, but my clearance was downgraded because of them. They went around and downgraded anybody who didn't need, say, if you only needed a confidential and you still held a secret, they downgraded you. So I got a downgrade out of it.
Mm. This is Irwin.
Are you associated with the Navy, Senator Chick?
I was in the Navy. Now I'm in the Merchant Marine. I sail for federal government.
See? Semper Fortis, baby. Semper Fortis.
Are you affected by the shutdown, Nancy?
I am, in fact. I was talking to Bob about it earlier, the documents I got sent and everything. Sitting at home, I was supposed to fly out tomorrow to a ship, and that's been canceled.
You're not considered essential, as the government calls it? I've always found that so revolting, you know? You don't have to come to work. You're not essential, you know?
Not essential immediately.
Yeah.
In other words, think people aren't going to die if I don't go to work. So that's kind of what they define as essential. Help safety, like air traffic controllers and stuff like that. A lot of our weather forecasters are working without pay. Some are not working at all, though.
That standard, people will die if they don't go to work, there's even a little bit of irony in that, though, Sailor Chick, because the Customs and Border Patrol people went to work, and a 7-year-old and an 8-year-old did die.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And they are responsible because those kids were in their custody. I also volunteer as a first responder. I volunteer in EMS and work with a lot of cops. And, they often call us to check out a prisoner before they take them off to jail. They are responsible for turning in a prisoner who is reasonably healthy, and if they have injuries, those are supposed to be addressed. So as soon as somebody is in your custody, legally they're your responsibility. And it doesn't sound like, at least in the case of at least one of them, I didn't hear the story on both the kids. It sounds like one of them was in and out of an emergency room. And the thing about kids is that you can't treat them like little adults. They respond to illness and stuff like that differently, and compensate for illness quite a long time before
fever. They shouldn't have let him back out. They shouldn't have sent
that
child back to a facility where there was others.
I mean, I think that, the problem is they have these kids. They're treating them like adults. They're putting them in these centers that are probably cool to 65 degrees in the wintertime.
That's a terrible thing to do to children.
Yeah, you can't do that without blankets or who knows what they have, sleeping on tarps or whatever.
Wrap themselves in. It's just ridiculous, and it's being done in our name, and it's just outrageous.
It's ridiculous. It is.
Well, I would dare to go so far as to say it's criminal.
I would say that. Yep.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Absolutely.
For justice in the world, it would be adjudicated as a crime. Absolutely.
When you're withholding somebody's funds without reason, that's criminal. That's stealing.
Well, and that's what I was gonna. That's what I was gonna ask earlier. Billable Rick, you and Steve are our resident ad hoc counsel. I've been making this argument about the Section 4 of the 14th Amendment and the validity of the public debt shall not be questioned.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that exactly what's going on when these political branches use the lives of the government's obligations to pay its workers and honor its debts? Isn't that exactly what's happening? Isn't that questioning of the validity of the public debt?
I think not, maybe not, Bob, because the public debt is what's already been incurred by the federal government, not what is going to be incurred prospectively. Okay, at least I think. I think that would be the argument that we made against your theory. I'm not saying that that's a good argument, but it's an argument that could be made.
Well, I keep reading that segment, and granted, it's tied up in the debt from the Civil War.
Yeah.
But it's not off the books, and it's not been invalidated by any subsequent constitutional revision or amendment. And
there probably haven't been any Supreme Court cases that have addressed that lately, anyway. I bet.
I don't know if there are any that have ever addressed it.
Yeah.
Short of questions of recompense coming out of the Civil War.
Right. Right.
But like when George W. Bush went to Parkersburg, West Virginia, and said that file cabinet right there, he went to the Bureau of the Public Debt. He said, mm-hmm. That file cabinet right there, that's just a box full of useless IOUs.
Well, that's when he was trying to privatize Social Security, right? Wasn't that it?
Something like that. But, I mean, he was directly questioning the validity. When you say that the public debt is a bunch of useless IOUs,
is that old saying, I'd rather owe you the rest of my life than cheat you out of it?
Yeah, I'd rather.
I think that probably was illegal on George W. Bush's part to question the public debt in that manner. But the problem is, what's the enforcement mechanism? Okay, that is
the problem, because the other part of Section 4 says Congress may make such laws as it deems necessary to enforce this.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Congress ever got around to doing that.
There you go.
They may. Yeah, they probably haven't.
No.
Maybe they did back in the 1860s. Who knows? But
what if a bill was introduced saying the obligation of the United States to pay its federal employees shall be considered part of the public debt, and any attempt to shut down the government, to deliberately shut down the government, shall be deemed a crime, and you put it in the U.S. criminal code.
Well, that's not never going to get passed. But let's say it does in some world, in some universe.
I like to contemplate the art of the possible.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. Cowboys could be in the Super Bowl this year. Who knows?
Hey!
Sorry, John.
Ooh, fighting words.
Let's watch it there.
fuck football.
Fuck football. How about them Cowboys? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I got two. I got two words.
Falcons and.
I got two words.
Oh shit!
Roll Tide.
I'll reiterate that. Roll Tide.
Hey, on a good story, the San Francisco 49ers gave the coach of the Paradise football team Super Bowl tickets.
Oh, nice.
That's good. That's a nice gesture. Good for him.
So, Todd. Yes, Todd. Yes, Todd.
Well, you know who I'm about to talk about.
First of all,
the dog was going crazy. I'm out here in the backyard, and I'm telling you, I've never seen this shit in my fucking life. There are clouds. They're a little puffy. They're just, puff clouds, not nimbus like that. But they are treetop level. We're talking about clouds 300 feet, or less. I have a tree right here. This is right in the tree. This is some weird shit going on. The dog is going crazy. That's why I had to come outside, because the dog wouldn't be quiet. I had to come outside in the yard. But, yeah, oh, my God, this fucking cloud is, like, almost on top of the tree. Holy. Shit.
Well, they do. They do
you
call it.
Smell smoke, do you?
They do call it low country.
No, this is weird, man. I'm telling you, there's something weird going on. No, Todd. This is weird. Oh, this will be on the news. But listen. So the Eagles had this guy Smallwood, and I think he is from. I don't know. It's the whole reason I jumped in. West Virginia. Do you know Smallwood?
Yeah.
Wendell Smallwood.
Yeah.
Man, that guy. Look at the Eagles. Did you see the fucking game? Man, we beat the shit out of the fucking the Washington team. Oh my God.
Nice save there on not using the nickname.
You see what I did, and I thought about what you said about the pronouns the other day, and I was doing a transaction. And I caught myself, and I was like, wow, this makes all the sense in the world. And that's all the tangent I'm going to go off on that. But listen, look, Wendell Smallwood, man, look, the Eagles, this shit is crazy. Folk, do you understand? You look at the body language. They don't like Wentz anymore. The team doesn't like Wentz. Nobody was around him. On the sidelines, no. Nobody's talking to him. The whole city. You listen to the sports station, WIP Radio, Anthony Cataldi, in the morning. Oh, my God. Listen, I don't know. This shit is ugly, man. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. Because how is it this guy, look, the second-string quarterback took us to the Super Bowl last year. Here we are again. All of a sudden, on his string, he just made a fucking NFL record of completions. Did everyone not see that?
Oh, okay. I'm looking forward to it. Now the NFL can be fun to watch because it's playoff season.
25. I'm sorry, went off, but you know me.
That's gonna be a good game, the Eagles and the Bears, Todd. That'll be tough.
Unless you're a Falcons fan, it's torture. It is. It's fucking torture, man. Especially after what happened with the Patriots. I'm still patching up my wounds over that one.
So. Yeah, that stung. Geez. That stung.
I need some of your heartburn medicine there, Rick.
I do have some. Yeah, it's down in Orange County, though, so sorry.
All right, well, yeah, I'll have to meet you there.
Yeah. Oh, man.
By the way, on a totally different topic and one that is considerably more serious, the police in Houston have finally released a composite sketch of the guy who blew away a 7-year-old girl last week.
Oh, I saw that.
Damn.
I hope they catch him.
A family of five leaving Walmart Sunday morning, and a guy in a red pickup truck pulled up alongside their car, blew out the windows, and blew away a 7-year-old girl, little Jasmine Barnes.
Jeez.
And her mama, LaPortia Washington, got shot in the arm, and another little girl got injured by shattered glass. And then two sisters were out of the field of fire.
I talked about this on my show today, Bob, because Donnie stood out there in the Rose Garden today and was talking about the undocumented migrant that shot the police officer out in California, and they caught the guy. He's a criminal, all that good shit. But it's the way Donnie says the word shot. She was shot. But on the same token, he doesn't bring up the little black girl that was killed by a white man.
Of course not.
No, not going to say that. And if you look at, I hate that shit because I got in a deep conversation one time about this lady who was so upset. An undocumented migrant was drunk and killed this guy out on the highway. Oh, my God, let's hang him. Not worried about the rest of the Americans out here that go out and get drunk every day and kill somebody. You're going to worry about that guy and what language he ordered that beer in. That's what that is. And him doing that out there in the Rose Garden today was just disgusting. That's how they use that shit. They use that woman out in California the same way. Shot. Are you shitting me? Why don't you worry about
everybody?
He's
so worried
else
about
shot
police
in this
officers.
Country.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, most people in this country are killed by good old red-blooded Americans, baby.
Yeah, I was reading Christmas Eve or Christmas Day a cop was killed when she was a police officer in Louisville, and she was killed in her cruiser. She was incinerated when a drunk driver in a semi hit her. She was doing a traffic stop.
God.
And you never, not a peep out of him about that.
No,
and she was burned alive.
Now, if the driver had been a migrant, holy shit.
Yep.
You know.
And the Republicans accuse the Democrats of using identity politics. Huh? What the fuck, huh?
Nobody uses it like them, baby. Nobody uses it like them.
Yeah.
You know, that got me upset today. It just really did, because he's just really emphasizing that, driving that home. It was this officer. We all mourn that officer's death.
Mm-hmm.
But don't bring that into the immigration deal. Unless you're going to talk about every other cop that's killed out there by some idiot. You know. It's just taking it where it don't belong.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
It just got me pissed today.
Mm. I mean, anyway. you got an American, you know, certainly not a migrant or immigrant, out in Oregon, a white woman slinging a knife around, threatened a black family over how they parked their car. Of course, she also, whilst brandishing the knife, she also brandished some, let us say, verbiage, you know, that word.
Of course.
Yeah.
And then, let's...
Now they feel comfortable saying it, so...
And then, not violent, but by the same time, a degree of indignity that no one should have to suffer. A lawsuit was filed fairly recently, down in your neck of the woods, Billable Rick. A guy named Daryl Robinson is a former employee of the Marriott chain. And in the lawsuit, he claims that he started working for Marriott February 2017. He'd been 2 decades in sales at other firms. And early on, they wouldn't let him have a cubicle and gave him a cramped storage closet with no air conditioning.
Oh, jeez.
And then regularly at sales meetings, Mr. Robinson, who is not known as Bojangles, he is not Daryl Bojangles Robinson, was routinely commanded to dance at sales meetings to Michael Jackson songs.
Oh, jeez.
God.
Oh, my God.
And look, I've got a string of them here. Another guy in Kansas kicked a little African American toddler and started yelling racist shit.
When you have that in your house, when we have that in our White House, what do you expect across this country? Every little cockroach that ever lived around here is all of a sudden emboldened. They think they have the right to do that. They have the right to claim their America. Are you shitting me? That's exactly what's in our house.
And then the asshole in Kansas tried to run away, but another shopper tackled his racist ass. And no, you can't say that there's a direct proximate cause relationship, but it is exactly what you just described, John. It's a matter of setting the agenda.
He's got the bully pulpit up there. Isn't that what they've said all through our history? Isn't that what you were taught when you were a kid, that the president of the United States set the tone? He has his hand on the moral tiller of our ship. Are you shitting me? We ran aground a long time ago with this asshole. You know, it's damn well disgusting. You know, it's what he's brought out, and it's brought out the racist assholes all across this country. It started right after he threw the hat in the ring. The white supremacist, the neo-Nazi bullshit came out of the woodwork all giddy. They found their leader.
Speaking of neo-Nazis, did you see those three bald-headed guys behind Trump weird-ass press conference?
That was bizarre.
Yeah. Wasn't it?
Oh, shitting me.
Everything's bizarre.
It's a whole
bizarro
ball
world.
Of wax. It is.
Hey,
Bob. Good.
But a wave washed over Washington, baby, and there's some fresh blood in there. And looking forward. I'm not looking gloom and doom. I'm looking forward, baby. I'm looking for this ship.
Hey, I love Alexandria.
Love her dancing. I love it.
Yeah.
Woman's got moves. Come out belly aching about that. Shut your mouth. You don't give a shit what Brett Kavanaugh did. You're gonna bitch about her dancing. I love the dance she did in the Hall of Congress.
Yeah, it sort of reminds me of the movie Footloose. It's like, geez, I thought we.
Well, the moves in that Rick were actually from the Breakfast Club, and Sheedy and Molly Ringwald tweeted out, "You're in the club now," to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
That's one of them I'm looking forward to hearing from. I really am. She's got a little guts to her, and that's what we need up there, progressives with the guts to open their mouth.
I have a comment, too. I think they need to concentrate on taking the press away from the asshole, you know. If they can do something every day like that, you know, just take the spotlight off him. I think he'll shrink and die away.
Well, you see what happens. He'll run out there in front of the press corps or out to somewhere and say, look at me, I'm on TV. You know, that's what he'll do.
He
couldn't stand it, but you're right. If you take the camera away from him, if you take the media away from him, he'll starve.
But he's found ways to control the news cycle for almost 3 years.
Yes, he has.
Yeah, that's true.
He's the shiny object that won't go away.
Oh, and hey, by the way, the story that Mark kind of opened the door on last night about Paul Whelan, you know, the alleged spy being held in Russia.
Oh, yes.
It gets weirder and weirder. Last night, Mark mentioned the fact that he had a bad conduct discharge. Well, I found out a few more details today on what that bad conduct was. He stole $10,000 from the while he was a Marine in Iraq.
It was a larceny charge.
And they also charged him with trying to dummy up improperly proctoring a computer exam system so that he could, you know, advance himself and grade his own shit and you know, possibly rise in rank or rise in pay, things like that. So the question then becomes, how in God's earth did he become A, a cop, and then B, a security guy for a worldwide auto parts conglomerate called BorgWarner, which incidentally, since the early part of this decade, has had ongoing business dealings with a Russian company.
Hey, Bob.
He's a spook, Bob. He's an armed spook.
But see, what Bob? Just a second, Scott. Finish this out. What becomes even weird, I mean, where I went with it last night is, what if this guy is a spook? Yes. But what if his purpose was to go over there and take information with him to let Putin know what the inside skinny was on the Mueller investigation, now that Hot Tub Time Machine Whitaker has briefed the president on what Mueller is doing?
Mm-hmm. I heard you guys. And you're right. Right. Remember, we talked about that thumb drive. It's it. Because remember, Whitaker, from the minute he was the head, he can say, you know what, I need all these files. And if it's thumb drive, remember, all this stuff is on the network. That's the way they do shit. It's not on paper. It's just on the network. You have to have passwords for higher level stuff. Boom, 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 boom. But he has all the passwords. He has access to every partition in that network. Puts his thumb drive in. Someone asks him, say, you know what, I didn't want to stay late. I want to purview these records. I take them home. I'm the director. I can do this. And he can. So, boom, boom. Hey, you know, and carry on. That's it. And go tell Trump, tell everybody else.
Did you hear his lick spittle? My God.
Scott, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that call from last night, because I'm still mulling all the possibilities over on that deal with this supposed spy over in Russia. But as far as making off with 10 grand while he was in the military in Iraq, I'm sure you remember where they airlifted and dropped pallets of freshly printed U.S. currency, bundles of $100 bills to the tune of several billion into Iraq in the early 2000s. I'm sure he's not, and some of it was missing when they tried to do an accounting of what they did with all the money. I'm sure he was not alone in making off with 10 grand. Shit, given billions of dollars, that's chump change. You know,
yeah.
But that's not why I call.
Small part of what got. And I
oh, that
saying,
we'll never know. We'll never know what the fuck happened to all that money. But anyway, John, I was thinking of you with your T-shirt thing. Back in the late 70s, I had a T-shirt, and I'll send Bob a picture so he can see how skinny I used to be back then. The T-shirt, navy blue, white lettering. I used to be disgusted. Now I'm just amused.
Now I am merely amused.
Just amused. Yeah.
I need to get that T-shirt again in my current size. But I've got a question, Bob.
The one I've
got a question.
Yes,
earlier you were talking about it's all well and good if the new democratically controlled House does all the proper investigations, gets a wealth of evidence and testimony and conclusions about malfeasance and ne'er-do-welling on the part of Trump and his cronies, but the Senate doesn't take up the impeachment, their part of the impeachment or conviction process, once the House does impeach him, if they do. Couldn't a Democratic senator and maybe a Republican senator who has balls just refuse to allow any business to be done in terms of confirmations and other stuff in the Senate to kind of pressure McConnell to do his fucking job? Is that a plan that would work, or?
First, you'd have to find a Republican.
First, you have to find the Republican, exactly.
Yeah.
But in the Senate, a Democratic senator.
Scott, the Senate's rules are so arcane, it's kind of hard to, you know, figure out how it would work. I mean, you know, in the past, yeah, one senator could block all nominations on, you know, judicial appointments, but having gotten rid of the filibuster, you know, I mean, who knows if that's going to work or not. It would be whether, you know, McTurtle is going to go along with it or not, I think. And there's no way he would, because they want to ramrod as many conservative judicial picks as they can. They got 85 in the first 2 years of Trump's term, so they want to probably double that.
I know what they're up to. I'm just wondering if a single senator, regardless of party, or a group of senators could throw enough sand into machinery to where it'll become apparent to McConnell that nothing will get done until he picks up the conviction chapter in the impeachment saga.
Yeah, I don't think so, Scott.
That's all going to come about. The only way it's going to happen is after the investigations and all that that the House is going to do. If they provide enough evidence and provable evidence. I mean, it's going to have to be just, look, here's a picture of him screwing the monkey. you know, it's going to have to be that. But once they do that, then those senators are facing constituents that are knowledgeable now. That's what happened to Nixon. It all happened after the tapes come out and the evidence came out.
Evidence
comes about Trump, that's when it starts.
Speaking of Mueller, there's breaking news. It came across my email. Robert Mueller's grand jury extended for upwards of 6 months, signaling Russia probe far from over.
It was about to come to the end of its commission.
Mm-hmm.
And so
if anybody's wondering about the validity, well, a federal judge just extended it.
Yeah.
And he knows a little bit about it.
Oh, have you also heard about the New York Attorney General? Sworn in. She's going after Trump full bore.
Good
for her.
Yep. Yep.
Good.
Every aspect of his criminal life, which is, I believe, is going to be a whole lot of them. That's what's going to turn the tide. You know,
hey,
they've already thrown their morals in the ditch. You know, so hey, it's going to have to be hard evidence.
Hey, Bob, you want to announce my challenge?
Yeah, I want to jump in on that. Billable Rick has put a challenge in. He kicked in $50 and says there's another $25 will come if somebody else will match that $25. Do I have that right?
Rick,
yeah. $25 of that was for the Agnes and Bob New Year's Eve fund that I meant to pay sooner. So yeah, $25 of new cash.
Okay, so so that would take us down to 240. Which would be awesome. There's a $25 challenge on the table, courtesy of Billable Rick. And hopefully we'll get down below the 200 mark so that we won't be looking at a, you know, $400 more in Monday. But thank you very kindly, Billable Rick. I appreciate it, man. I really, really do.
Good man, Rick. Good man, buddy. We appreciate that. So somebody match that man up.
Yeah,
we can do it, guys.
Yeah, don't let that slide by.
As I always say, where else are you going to find such fine entertainment and discussion anywhere else than right here for such a cheap cost?
Yeah, less than 16 cents per hour, as it were.
There you go, baby. And what fine entertainment you're getting.
Yes, Scott.
Speaking of contributions to the horn, let Boss Man Wayne know that my little pittance got mailed from the post office yesterday, and it's swinging its way.
I have already alerted him because there are multiple envelopes with multiple wings. So I've told him to keep a heads up.
Yeah. You know, okay. But that's good. It makes me feel good to do a little something.
Thank you,
Bob. Does the name Chris from Germany sound familiar?
Yes.
To you? Yes. Well, Chris from Germany sent me a message. I've got some Christmas bread coming and some German Christmas cookies.
Ooh.
And he did make a fine little donation to the Blue Dot family.
She.
Oh, I'm sorry. She?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, and I have been the beneficial recipient of that German Stollen, and it's to die for. God, it's good.
See, guys, I got a whole package of Christmas cookies and stuff from Germany from a client. It's called Aachener Dom, D-O-M. No, that was the city. I don't know where it comes from, but it's German. You can kind of see here.
Oh, this stuff is...
I am so looking forward to it.
John, this stuff is yummy. It will blow your mind.
She made a nice PayPal donation to the Blue Dot and then sent me that message and then said that she had learned from me about me from Bob Kincaid. So I just want to give Chris a shout out and you, buddy. Thank you.
I met Chris at the get together up at the Molloy Molloy retreat up in the North Georgia mountains. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, the day that
I'm so sorry to miss that.
It was a blast, Sailor Chick, and
yeah, I had duty on an ambulance that day, so that Friday, so there was no breaking away, but it does sound like you had a lot of fun.
Oh, the day that we drove from the Atlanta airport and took a circuitous route that wound up at the venue and stopped periodically because, you know, Chris was just off the plane and sort of, mainly remaining functional by the continued application of caffeine to bodily systems. We kind of went from one Starbucks to the next, and it became the great Starbucks, the great North Georgia Starbucks tour of late 2018, and Agnes has not been the same since.
Hell, me neither.
Must have been a good time.
That day broke me of daily alcohol consumption. I have not done daily alcohol consumption since.
Well, I don't know.
Hey, Bob.
Do you want any more than that or what?
Yeah, Scott.
I tried to stop this and while Trump is in office.
Yeah.
two quick things, and then I'm going to ring off to free up the stress line. Steve, in Georgetown, I emailed you a link to listen to Ronald Reagan's diatribe against Medicare. So look for that in your mailbox. And the other thing, somebody earlier was talking about the morons on who call into C-SPAN. I really urge you, and this comes from page number 18 of Commander Scott's book of Sanity and Serenity for 2019. And on page 18, it clearly says, if the morons on C-SPAN are getting you down, do a fast for 30 days. Don't watch C-SPAN. Because as Jesus said in the good book, in the revised standard ultra version, the old version says, the poor ye shall have with ye always. But in my version, it says, the irretrievably stupid ye shall have with you always. And there's nothing we can do about it. And if it gets us down to see them, well, temporarily don't see them. Don't look at them or listen to them for a month. And take the time that you're freeing up to come up with creative ways to get rid of Trump in a legal, wonderful way. So that's what it says on page 18. So
Scott, I got it, brother. Thanks for sending that, man.
Well, okay. And it's interesting you would raise that particular verse, Scott, the poor ye have always with ye, because he doesn't say poor what. So I like to think the poor of mind.
The poor white trash of mind. Okay.
Yeah.
There's that too. And I don't mean to berate some of our less cognizant Americans, but let's face it. They are irretrievably stupid.
You don't mean to goon on the lizard brains, but.
Well, yeah, I guess there's that. So let me go ahead and free up the stress line for someone else to pop in. But you all take care. Have a good weekend. Rick, if you do an overtime, Skype me up, and I'll ramble and rant for at least a
few
minutes.
Okay, Scott, take care, man.
All right.
Okay, you all take care. Have a good weekend.
Happy weekend.
Bye. Bye, Scott.
Bye. Bye. See ya.
Nice
horned family, Bob.
Isn't it just lovely? That's why I want to figure out a way to have an opportunity for a lot of people to get involved in a meetup. Because if we have this much fun at a distance and attenuated, my goodness gracious, can you imagine the fun we'd have with some. With some barbecued pulled pork and some chicken and some ribs and brisket.
Woo-hoo!
And
the Blue Dot family has been talking about that for a while now, and how nice it would be after when the appropriate time comes to get together and have a match. You know, we went over 10,600 on the fan club now. That would be a hell of a good sized party for me. I like that.
I think the biggest fun part of it for me would be just to have a bunch of people gathered around and sitting there and the acorn smokers just kind of pumping out that hickory beautifulness, and we don't open it because we don't want to lose the heat, but we know that good things are going to happen in a few hours.
Good things are
going
to happen.
And if we do something in Philly, or then at the end of it, we'll let the acorn get all, cooled down. Then we'll go in and clean it up, make it nice as new, and donate it to a local community organization that needs to feed people barbecue.
That sounds like a plan, Bob.
That sounds great.
Sounds good.
But the thing that I was mentioning earlier is, if this is something that's going to happen, we got to have some way. I got to have some way of gauging interest. And even if we're going to be at Netroots Nation, even if we don't do it at Netroots Nation, Steve from Georgetown keeps militating for doing it here in Almost Level West by Cole Trump, Virginia-stan. On the other hand, I was looking at some numbers the other night. And I'm not diminishing anybody else from anywhere else by saying this, the vast majority of the Horn Family Community Congregation is in three states. Washington, Oregon, and California.
Where's that confounded bridge?
What?
Yeah. I mean, it stands to reason that a liberal program would have the most, its greatest listenership in the most liberal parts of the country. So we've got folks in New England. We've got a Southern contingent who like to be able to tune in and hear somebody that sounds like them, who thinks like them, who, you know, and yet ain't a maggot. But the shit ton of listeners out, California, Oregon, and Washington. And then there's, you know, the weed thing.
What weed?
Oh, yeah. Bob?
Well, you know, the fact that if we held a horn in California, Oregon, or Washington, there could be ribs and pulled pork
and weed, Bob.
And weed. And weed, John, weed.
I will bring the heartburn medication, y'all, okay?
No, I have to pass on the weed because I still get drug tested.
Yeah. But you know what?
You can partake all you want.
We will do it in your name, Sailor Chick.
That's right.
They can't pee test you for having something done in your name.
Or contact high. I don't think that tests for contact high. So there you go.
You have to be around a lot of it to get a contact high.
Yeah.
I'm picking up my old card Wednesday. So rock on, man. Rock on.
Your catch 22 card, Steve?
Yeah.
I'm going to get me a card too, Steve. Yeah, that's it.
I can probably get you.
Oh, hey, Bill. Hey, Billable Rick, your challenge was met by Andy the Angry Jew.
There you go. Outstanding.
So that takes us down to 240. And then
we still got time left, Bob.
Something else happened. Awesome. Our buddy Jug of Punch, our buddy for a long, long time, Jug of Punch, just jumped in and said, have a wonderful year. I'm loving Friday on the Front Porch. And so with that, we go down to only 120 to go.
Oh, wow. Man. We can do this, people.
Where
get
you
him
go,
down
Jug
to
Punch?
Nothing. Let's get him down to nothing.
Robert in Australia wants to know if we ever do the horn in, should he send along some Vegemite?
Oh,
absolutely.
No,
I think John's got plenty, don't you, John? You can bring yours.
I made a mistake with that. You got to go thin on that. Don't spread that stuff like peanut butter. It's not peanut butter. It does not taste like peanut butter.
I heard it's an acquired taste.
It's a little salty side if you take too much.
John, do you have any? Are there any Pullmans left, or have they been gone through?
They are getting down to the. I can hit the bottom. I don't like that. When I go over to stick my fingers in there, I'm hitting 10.
I don't know if it would be deemed wasteful, but I actually thought about something because this is how my sad, busy little mind works. I was thinking about going and finding one of those, you know, you can get a home unit peanut butter maker, you know, that industrial grinder that makes peanut butter.
Sure.
And I thought it would be awfully fun to take, say, a cup of those Pullmans and run them through a peanut butter maker and make Pullman butter.
I bet that would be good. I bet that would be. You got one of them grinders?
No, but I'm thinking about looking and seeing if maybe there's some company that has little 9-year-olds chained to a table in China making them.
Making them, yeah. I'm sure they do. That would be a good idea. I like those things. And you were right. You can't eat just one.
No.
I'm sitting there in the evening, and then my hand, it just keeps going over there.
No, see, here's the downside of Pullmans, John.
Uh-oh. You run out. That's
you
the
run out.
Right there.
And when you and when it. You and when you get down to say like your last 25 or 30 Pullmans, you'll realize that maybe you hadn't ought to been so damn profligate about them earlier, popping them 5 or 6 at a time into your gob and just chomping away. That maybe you would have been better off doing them one at a time.
I would have been more conservative with them.
Yeah. So from Pullman 30 downward, you're like rationing.
Yeah. Is there a Pullman signal that you shoot up in the sky to let him know when we're down, when we're getting low?
Well, yeah, it's a seasonal thing, and it only happens at Christmas.
He does an outstanding job. I was, you know, I was not a big almond eater, as a matter of fact, probably, you know, maybe an almond joy or something like that. You know, I didn't just, you know,
these are game changers.
They are. They are indeed. I'm telling you, I was not a big almond fan, and now I just find them either just like peanuts. They're easier to eat than a regular almond, and they taste a whole lot better.
And that little veneer of oil and of olive oil, and that little bit of sea salt
sea salt. That's it. That's it.
Now, yeah. I will confess, I have been known to segregate a few Palmans and, like, sprinkle a little bit of Cajun seasoning over them. At which point things get very interesting. Yeah, a little bit. I've done them with a little bit of cayenne, you know. But I never do it in the whole, you know, with the whole box. Just put a few aside and just, you know, hey, would this be good? You know what? Lemon pepper.
This is my first box, so I'm
lemon pepper
myself.
John, lemon pepper.
I have some too. Oh, now I'm going to go in there when we got off here. I'm going to go
grab lemon pepper.
I'm telling you, anybody listening, if you don't know what we're talking about, Paul's Almonds, Palmans.
Yeah, Paul from Parts Unknown.
From Parts Unknown. I got really surprised when he sent me some. I was just tickled to death. So, yeah, I just don't know what to do when you run out. It's like, you know, because there's several things that some of our family members have sent to us that you get that one time, you go, oh, man, that's some good shit. That's good shit, but how do you go online and go, hey, send me some more of that stuff. I'm out. You know? Hey, I got
I just got a note from Darlene in Connecticut. Yeah, I started hitting 10 at the bottom of my Palmans, and like John, as well, I'm feeling some anxiety.
Yes, it does. You go, oh, shit. that's metal down there. Yeah, I'm getting low. Those are good almonds, so I'm telling you. And I'm not a big almond guy. I like pecans and cashews, stuff like that. You know, that's what I always think. You know, you get that mixed nuts, that'd be the last thing I go for is that almond. You know, I'm looking for a little stuff. Now I'll be disappointed next time I grab an almond from one of them cans or something.
You won't want to.
Yeah, no, it tastes like shit.
No, those things can't keep
they
up.
They need to talk to Paul. That's what they need
click,
to do.
Click on that Damn link it. I just posted.
Is that his link?
No.
Oh. I didn't know.
This is a snack link.
Oh, it's a snack link. I didn't see the link.
It looks like Dennis is in the room. He's joined us. How you doing, Dennis?
To hold you over. Hey, Dennis, what's going on, brother?
Oh, sick as a dog, but I thought I'd jump in here.
Shit.
Oh, man, you got the flu? What's going on?
Yeah, bro? Flu.
Oh, jeez. I'm sorry to hear that, friend. Yeah. Oh, man.
I'm glad we're online.
Yeah, me too. You can sneeze all you want.
I don't need that shit. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry to hear that, Dennis.
I couldn't stay away from you guys. I was like, I'm going to get up and get on there and see.
He tried to get away. We pulled him back in.
Yeah, you can't
get out of
it,
buddy. No, you can't quit this. You can't quit this.
Hey, Dennis.
That's why I'm telling these people. A few cents, 16 cents, is that too much to ask for such fine entertainment? You ain't going to find it nowhere else, baby.
Dennis, you were talking last week or one week about how to handle people on social media. I found that instead of commenting directly at them, I post separately so I don't try to look like I'm trying to intimidate them. But maybe get the message across. I don't know if that's a good strategy or not, but that's what I do. So I just wanted to.
I have used that strategy.
Okay. All right.
I have a different approach altogether. I used to get in flame wars and stuff online. I don't anymore usually, because and it had something to do with turning 50. I became a little bit more jealous of my precious finite time on this planet, because this ain't no dress rehearsal and there ain't no second act.
Right.
And so I just took this position that I refuse to let these, I refer to these little right-wing trolls as time vampires. And I refuse to get into extended engagements with them because they are literally stealing the most valuable thing that I have. My life.
There you go.
And see,
in your life is better spent fighting for the right than to listen to.
I mean, it's why there are no right wingers allowed on the horn. You want to go babble right wing horse shit? Well, go find a program that'll talk about the race of men in the trees. You're for tough legislation. I wait all night for calls like these. Do that. Knock yourself out. But leave us to actually try to figure out solutions to problems. Because they're not going to do it. And I think it's in human nature to think that the process of reasoned argument is such that it will eventually convince someone who is clearly in error, but that ain't how it works. Because you cannot change the mind of someone who does not have much of a mind worth changing.
That's it. If they're set in stone, you're just chipping away at the edges. Yeah. I gave up being concerned about what response I get from what I say. You know, when I first started, that was a concern. My wife was, you know, what are you going to do? People are going to hear you. And I thought, yeah, that's the idea. That's the idea. That, you know, just like Bob, hell, I'm fixing to be 66 in a few days. Shit. When is my time to speak out? When is it my time to say something?
Speak now or forever hold your peace,
right,
John.
Baby. That's right. I can't. Shut
so wait, are you
up.
Are you,
you
an,
want
are,
me
are
to
you...
start playing the violins for
That's
you?
That's right. We're getting old. I'm gonna die.
So John, are you telling me you're another Aquarian?
That's me, baby. That's
I knew it. I knew there was a reason. Yeah, same here.
Are you Bob?
Oh yeah.
You know, I just want to throw this out there, Bob. They didn't write a song about this is the dawning of the age of Gemini. You know, they didn't do that.
They damn sure didn't. Nope.
They wrote a song, this is the dawning, baby. And that was the dawning in the 60s. And look, it's just now noon. So we still got time, Bob. You know?
Yeah, it ain't no time for surrender.
No, I passed that point. I've opened my mouth enough. People know exactly where I stand on everything now. And as I say, my politics is only the half of it. What I had to say and come out to say in a family as religious as this, as mine, are you shitting me?
Oh, oh man. God. You had
John's
that.
John's an atheist.
You had that conversation. That ain't ever easy.
Oh, baby, yeah. No. Everybody gets a big kick out of the way that happened. For those that don't know, the morning that Donnie had got elected, there are several preachers in my family. One of them tweeted out, or on social media, had put out, what a glorious day it must be in heaven today. And I wrote back, yeah, I guess God's up there grabbing a little pussy this morning. And that was it, baby.
Zing! Right off the Christmas card list at the speed of light.
That's it. Speed of light, I'm gone. Get out of here. Boom. There was nothing left to it. And, you know, the fact that they finally found out after, 40 years, I'm an atheist. I don't know. Now, I don't believe the boat story. I don't believe the snake story. I just don't.
I don't believe the sun stood still in the sky because the earth actually revolves around the sun. There's that.
What I do believe is if your religion is more about me than it is about you, you're doing it wrong.
If your God is worried about what you eat or what kind of headgear you wear, that's not a God I want to run with. I want to, you know.
I told him the other day on my show, but I was talking about that church, Westboro Baptist Church.
Oh, yes. Fred Phelps and Shirley Phelps Roper.
I'll take them seriously the day I see them in front of Red Lobster, baby.
Well, it's like something I saw the other day. Why are there handicapped spots in faith healing churches?
Yeah, really. What's that about?
Why are there handicapped parking spots in faith healing churches?
And why is he so selective? Why there's a lots of people in wheelchairs, he could just like wave his hand. You know, he could do it. That's what they tell you. He could do it. He just don't want to because he's a dick. That's the only answer I can come up with. I don't mince words with it. Why, if he's got this such powerful, immense power to heal the sick and raise the dead, what the hell happened?
Speaking
I know
of
he
handicap.
Used to kill people. He used to kill a lot of people before he went to anger management school and Jesus was born.
There was another first yesterday. The first handicapped congressman was Speaker Pro Tem. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. Oh, say, no.
Yeah, they built a wheelchair hoist for him. to get up to the podium.
Well, good. Very good.
Well, I'm sure the Republicans think the flag's fallen over that as too.
Oh, yeah. Well, take a look at their side.
Did you guys get any more stuff? Did you guys notice how quiet the right side of the chamber was a couple of days ago?
What did you hear when Nancy was talking about St. Reagan and they didn't applaud? They don't like Reagan now. Oh, you're talking about immigration. We don't like that part now.
Right.
Are you shitting me?
I give them another year. I give the Republican Party another year before they say Reagan. Spit on the ground, liberal.
Yeah, Reagan, what liberal. A libtard.
Yeah, that guy never make it.
That's it, Sailor Chick. Not applauding Reagan to own the libs.
Yeah.
Bob, stop telling us how to applaud Reagan, okay?
Yeah. By the way, a little home remedy, Dennis, to get you back up to speed. Jimmy says, cold and or flu. My grandmother from Alabama got me on garlic and onion as a staple in my diet. It works for me. The casual sniffles. It works every
just
time.
Just staying the hell away from mama.
Yeah, she's across the damn house. But I do love garlic.
Well, it has it has natural analgesics or something. What you need is a big pot of good old fashioned matzo ball soup, just that's absolutely it. Effusive with garlic and onion and freshly ground black pepper.
And it's easy to make.
Yeah.
Just make a big batch of it and just eat it all week.
Dennis.
Oh, I love that stuff.
Menudo, baby, menudo. It'll take it.
Yeah.
Shockingly, I'm not a fan of menudo.
Neither am I, and I don't eat the tripas. I just eat the juice and all the other stuff. I stay away from that. I leave that in the bowl.
And you know something else, and this is non-canonical, but something else that you can add to matzo ball soup, Sailor Chick, that makes it awesome, are those hellacious little Szechuan peppercorns.
I'll have to try that.
They'll numb your lips. They'll make your tongue tingle. They're awesome.
Oh wow! Will they make me have to sit by the on the toilet with a CO2?
No, just eat a little extinguisher.
Not
a little ice cream.
Not that I've ever experienced. But if you'll see them in like. Your international groceries, and it'll either say Szechuan peppercorns, or they're also labeled prickly ash.
Ah, okay. I'll look for that.
Gives you a prickly ass.
But in anything that you're going to boil for a while to throw some of those in there, yeah. Oh, righteous.
Well, we've got a pretty good-sized Vietnamese community here, too, and Vietnamese... chicken pho is pretty good for colds too. It's just got a lot of sodium in it, so you just have to remember that. But it really, really does.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing with our little Thai place around here, which I just adore. I mean, it's only a sign of a loving God or something that I've got a Thai place within 5 miles of me, and I got
awesome.
It's here on my side of the river. It's bad pizza, Subway, Thai place. We know where I go. And she makes these. She makes these mean pots of tom yum soup. Chili pepper and coconut milk and lemongrass and ginger and hot pepper, and it'll pretty much get everything cleared out and unblocked. And she puts the extremely thin transparent vermicelli in it. Ugh, yeah. Obviously, I get pretty excited.
Have you ever?
My husband makes chicken soup with a lot of cloves in it, and that is really great for a cold too.
Yeah, because it numbs.
It opens up sinuses. Yeah.
Yeah. What was that, Sparky?
Have you ever been there since I told you that Thai word for?
Yeah, and I can never remember it.
Chanyin yin sam num.
Chanyin sam num.
Chatham Yin.
Chatham Yin.
Sam Nam.
Sim Nam. Chatham Yim.
Tea with milk.
Yeah, I mean, I get that every time she makes it. Agnes would live on it if I gave her half a chance.
I mean, you remember the greeting?
No.
Sawadee cup.
See, yeah. I got to write that down because she will laugh uproariously at my terrible pronunciation, but she'll dig the fact that I bothered to learn.
Well, when you running around an Air Force base and you're running into Thais all the time, you hear it all the time, Sawadee cup, when you see somebody and it's just a greeting.
Cool. Well, hey, where'd the time go? By the way, I've got an update. We're down to $95 courtesy of Libby, who sent a note along.
Thank you, Libby.
Thank you so very, very much. That's manageable for come Monday. Thank you very, very much. And hey, it's been a great conversation. And I still haven't gotten to the manifest embarrassment I feel as an American at the fact that the Chinese have put a probe on the dark side of the moon and are serious about going to the moon. And, well, we're trying to build a fucking fence. And, you know.
It's a wall, Bob.
Oh, I'm. Well, it's a barrier. It's a barrier. You can call it a wall. You can call it a barrier. You can call it a fence. Steel slats. Invisible steel.
Oh, it's a see-through. It's a see-through metal thing.
In case you didn't know, steel is stronger than concrete.
Bamboo.
There you go.
Jesus.
It's whatever's going to put money in the pockets of him and his family with kickbacks.
Oh, it's nothing but a criminal enterprise, and everybody knows it. Just because I'm shutting down the program doesn't mean that the conversation won't go on. It may continue afterward. I don't know. I just have to get the program uploaded and everything. But thanks for a wonderful first 4 days of 2019. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you so very, very much. We will keep each other sane as we continue this otherwise insane trip through the nightmare world of America's speed freak in chief. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve and Sparky in the chat room this evening. Thank you, Sparky, for moderating the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable once again. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.